Geeks. Geeks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
Hello, this is Joe Varga, and you're listening to Metal Geeks Podcast. Now crank it up.
This is George Perez, and you're listening to Metal Geeks. Rock out with your geek out. And if you are listening to me, then you know where you're listening. What you're listening to, right? So rock out.
Hi, this is Chris Claremont, and I listen to Metal Geeks. You should, too.
This is James Averer from Hellstar. And Sabbath, Judas, Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Hey, what's up, Matt? It's Ian Ross again, calling to give you the top picks that I have for the year of 2013, which is a month done, but what are you going to do? Sorry I couldn't be on the actual podcast, but, you know, such is life. All right, in the world of music, it's, let's see, well, I'll split it up for you. I'll give you the 10 best records and the 10 best, or my favorite of the records, of the heavy records and then the regular records. For the heavy records, my number one record of the year is Beast Milk. Just doesn't get any better than fucking Beast Milk. It's on Smart Records, everyone should check it out. Nails, Abandon All Life is number two. Corrections House, Last City Zero is number three. Obliterations, the self-titled. It's up on their Bandcamp page. They just got signed to Southern Lord, and they just released a new EP, so go check that out, Obliterations. Year of No Light, Vampire, Concrete Cross, self-titled. Immolation, The Kingdom of Conspiracy, Dark Throne, The Underground Resistance, Suffocation, Pinnacle of Bedlam, Rotting Christ, Katatan, Diamana, Yatoi, and Mouth of the Architect, Dawning. Those are my, like, top 10 or maybe 11. I don't really know. That's the metal. The heavy ass music. On regular albums, Beast Milk again, number one. Beast Milk again, number one. Russian Circles Memorial, number two. Chelsea Wolf Pain is Beauty, number three. Corrections House Last City Zero, number four. Inspector Deck Esoteric and 7L's Starface is number five. Julie Burns, Rooms with Walls and Windows is number six. Vinnie Paz, Carry On Tradition is number seven. Pharmacon's Abandon is number eight. MIA, Matangi is number nine. And Vampire Weekend, Modern Vampires of the City is number 10. Over on the comic book front, I think we're all pretty much in agreement that the best book of the year was kind of split between Superior Spider-Man, Dan Slott kicking ass and taking names, and then Hawkeye. Hawkeye was just, I don't even like Matt Fraction, and Hawkeye and David Ajaz's work on this is super badass. I also had a, you know, big thing for Batman, Scott Snyder kicking ass and taking names, as is always, with Lil Rob Capullo to make it all better. Let's see, what else did I like in the big comic book here? I was really a big fan of Jonathan Hickman's work with Avengers, New Avengers, and Infinity. I thought that was fucking boss. You know, it really kind of belonged to Marvel this year. DC had Batman and Superman. Wonder Woman looks promising, and Superman Unchained was awesome. I also really like The Wake, which is Vertigo, but this year really kind of belonged to Marvel. As far as, like, independent features, The March, Book 1.
God damn it. Sorry, Geekazoids. Ian's call ended abruptly. You can learn more about Ian Robinson's Best of 2013 comic books on www.cravenline.com.
Hey, what's up? It's Christian Spicer calling in with some Best of 2013. It's really easy. The Last of Us. It's the best game of 2013. It's the most, not fun, but the most influential, or I don't know. I love the game so much. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It's amazing. For joyous, whimsical, fun, happy, smiley face games, it's Tearaway on the Vita. Graphical prowess, and holy crap, we're in the next gen. It's NBA 2K14 on PS4, Xbox One, even though the online features are really messed up. Best comic book movie that I never got around to seeing is Thor 2. So many good things this year. 2014 hopefully will continue the streak. I'm excited about it. Hopefully you guys are too. You guys are the best, and all your listeners are the second best. No, thank you guys for doing this show. It's been awesome. I'm out.
We love you as well, Christian. Hope to have you on again soon.
Welcome, Metal Geeks, to the brand new episode of Metal Geeks for 2014. I am one of the hosts with the most. I am Carrie G. And with me is the host with the mostest.
JM Metal Geek.
JM Metal Geek. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
Good, and welcome to 2014.
Yeah, a couple weeks into it.
Right, what's the first thing we got to do when you reach a new year? Besides change
podcasts.
Your underwear.
Oh, I don't know, make goals? Make lists?
You have to look back on the past year.
Oh, yeah, we do that too.
And that's what we're doing tonight. We're doing our 2013 rewind for the Metal Geeks podcast. And we had to bring some special guests with us tonight.
We had to.
My balls were in a vice if I didn't bring you on.
No.
I wasn't going to threaten you that much.
So let's first introduce my life co-host, I guess you can call her that.
Your life co-host.
My life.
Yeah. Your heterosexual life partner.
There you go.
That's true. Of course, my wife, Kim, the River Dragon, is joining us this evening to give all her Doctor Who and Whedonisms out there.
Yes, and don't forget Tom Hiddleston as well. Yes.
Yeah. How can I forget Tom Hiddleston when you talk about him every day?
That's right.
And on the other end of the spectrum, we have another very special guest. We have JD, S3 Prototype from Oldness.com and Two Ninjas One Podcast. How you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic. It's a new year.
Welcome back to the show, man.
I'm glad to be back. I'm seeing not a lot has changed, but everything's new.
Like I said, my underwear has changed.
Everything will change, theoretically.
Sweet. We brought JD on because he's a big video game nerd like me, and we have some video game discussion to go on later this episode about, you know, our favorites of the past year. But we have lots of topics to start with, but before we get to that, let's give a little shout out to our new sponsor.
Yeah. We're going to have to make a commercial for this at some point.
Right. We need to.
Or just maybe we'll do a whole, like, before we start the show, we'll just be, you know, this episode of Metal Geeks is brought to you by thevitaldead.com.
Yeah. I'm just going to take that right out of the show and pop it in the front. So, hey, JM.
Yeah.
Do you buy Funko Pops?
I do.
Where do you buy yours from?
TheVinylDead.com, of course.
TheVinylDead.com? What is that?
Well, that's a website that you can get all of your geeky needs, like vinyl pop figures, DC Comics figures, Marvel Comics figures, Disney, Kid Robot, you know, all the cool stuff.
Now, if I wanted to go to this website, which is www.thevinyldead.com, and save some money, am I able to do that?
Yes, you can. In fact, right before you put... I'm sorry, I lost it.
I was scripted.
Yeah, I cheesed it right there. No, and actually, that's right off the top of my head. I cheesed it right there when I was like, oh, God.
We want it cheesy.
Yeah. You can actually... I actually have done this myself. I bought 3 pops from the site, and 2 of them were PX exclusive figures, and 1 was a Judge Dredd. And right before you check out, you enter in a discount code, which is MetalGeeks10, and you'll save 10% off your order.
I like saving 10%.
Yeah, I mean it really works out, especially when you have shipping, because I have no problem paying upright with. You know, the Funko Pops because they're actually cheaper on the Vinyl Dead than most stores, especially Hot Topic. They charge you $12.95 for them. On the vinyldead.com, you can get it for like $8.95.
And they have a lot of rare exclusive ones, like the ones you got, the previews exclusive. You can't just buy those everywhere.
Right. I've got the Flash and Green Lantern. Both of them are exclusives, and I got those for $10.95 apiece. And the Judge Dredd was $8.95. And, you know, it saved me roughly $5 in shipping.
There you go. See?
So, yeah, it worked.
You go to the website, put in Metal Geeks 10, and you will save 10% off your order.
There's Indeed. So many to choose from.
Oh. I was waiting.
Wow.
That's
the problem. There are so many to choose from.
Yeah. I mean, see, I have plans for these guys. Vinyl Dead probably doesn't want me to do that, but I actually dissect mine. And I create them into other things, so you know.
So how is the paint job on your Judge Dredd?
Actually, they gave me a pretty good one.
Good.
I can't find too much wrong with it. The only thing I did see, and this has nothing to do with the Vinyl Dead. This is all Funko's manufacturing. The green was a little bit weird on the pads, but otherwise. It was really, really good.
I'm not entirely happy with the paint job on mine, but
yeah.
Well, yeah, but.
But you didn't buy this from the vinyldead.com, though.
I did not buy it from the vinyldead.com. Yeah. If I did, I probably got a better copy.
Exactly. I see what you did there.
Ah.
And, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. There's so many different cool things coming out. They have an awesome bundle packs of the Star Wars series. I think it's series 6. They have a bunch of blind boxes as well, and they're currently at, I believe it's called the Kobe swap meet in San Diego. It looks like they do that every weekend.
Yeah, definitely next time if I ever get down to San Diego, I'm definitely have to go pay them a visit there.
Yeah, I'm not very cool. familiar with San Diego at all, but
the only thing I know about San Diego is you have to stay classy.
And Full House, right? That's San
yes.
Francisco.
That's San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Well,
sorry.
Exactly.
same, just different.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, they do a swap meet every weekend, it looks like, and I reposted it on my Instagram. They got this nice little booth and a whole bunch of different shit. And they'll actually take a picture of you opening up your blind box, which is pretty cool.
Blind box is sort of – and we've talked about this on the show before. They sort of scare me still, but it's that if you can find people to trade with afterwards, it makes it sort of eases the pain a little bit.
We got to get the vinyldead.com into the Vinylmations so you can get some discounts.
I know. That's not that would not be a good thing.
Yeah.
not for you.
But let's move on to our first topic of the evening. What do you want to talk about first?
I don't know.
Let's do comic books.
Okay. Well,
and we will start with our guest for the evening. Let's start with Kim. What have you been reading this past year?
Comic books, not a whole lot. New ones actually came out last year. I've been, of course, you know, Whedon fan, so I was reading, Buffy season 9.
Didn't Buffy season 9 start like 4 years ago or something in the comic book form?
I think that was season 8 started.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like 2007. I don't know. But other than that, I'm kind of off on reading the True Blood comics. They're fun. Meh. Not a whole lot of comics this year. I've been reading some other books, though, and, you know, kind of segueing from the True Blood. I was reading the Sookie Stackhouse novels, which the last book, Dead Ever After, came out last year. So, sad to see Sookie leave, and I know this season is the last the TV show as well.
Right, and you said books. Those are like comic books without pictures, right?
Yeah, it's just words. There's pictures on the front and the back pages, but
that just doesn't make any sense to me.
I know, it's crazy.
It sounds like the stuff that you do in like high school, and
you don't get graded for it.
No, you do it for fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, we have different conceptions of fun, man.
There's different levels of fun, but not a whole lot of comics. Just those two main ones. I was checking out the Anita Blake series, those are old, but you know, because I read the books as well, so I was checking out those graphic novels as well. So that's really it. Just kind of slow comic wise.
My wife is a fan of the paranormal romance.
Yes, I am.
At least she comes up in front about it. She doesn't hide it.
That's right.
At least it's not chick porn books. Almost they are, but
yeah, like this one you read.
There's no Fabios on the cover.
No.
Or people almost kissing.
No, I'm sure they have those.
Yeah.
Shows how many times I go into a bookstore. You don't see covers of books when you're shopping on Amazon. It's just like, oh, look, those are just pictures of people and names.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they do have bookstores around still. Well, not many, but one.
Not many, but one.
There's one sole place where books are grown.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually like going to this place here in Tampa. It's probably similar to what you go to, Carrie, as far as like a secondhand bookshop. They actually sell vinyls, and that's where I get my trade paperbacks from. Really cheap, too, actually.
Hey, what's the name of that place?
I'm sorry. Mojo Books and Music. They actually sell coffee, too. They have a barista. And if you like... I don't know if it's really even hipsterish type of coffee or whatever, but they've got this really awesome, I think one of the only two types of coffee drip machines in the entire state are located there. Hmm. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, you're talking about one of my favorite places to go to, Half Price Books.
I'm sorry. Mojo Books and Music.
Yeah, it's like they don't do coffee at Half Price, but man, you can find some great stuff. Like a couple weeks ago, we were there, and I found a Bendis graphic novel that was actually autographed by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, that's intense.
I was like, oh, that's mine. I'm grabbing that.
I mean,
it was like $4 too.
They literally have everything as far as a trade paperback and collections, compendiums. They have tons of them. I mean, I got this Irredeemable.
I've read the first volume of that series, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, and the store or online or whatever, it's like $14.99 or something like that. I got it for $4.
Yeah, see, nice. You can't beat that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a series I've been wanting to actually finish and reading. I just never have.
See, I think we're trailing off the topic here.
Yeah. So, Jornell, what about you? Did you read any comic books at all? Or any books for that matter?
Not all too much, really. I'm a big Metal Gear Solid fan, so there's a lot of backstory that I've been rolling through on since MGS5 is coming out, and I'm trying to piece together this whole woven clusterfuck of a story.
Yeah, that's Metal Gear Solid for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been reading that. I've been reading the wiki. I've been reading a lot of the... novels. There's like only two novels that are actually pretty crappy too. The actual graphic novel, that was okay. But other than that, I mean, I'm looking at my bookshelf and I have one book on there. It's just a Scott Pilgrim collection.
That's not technically a book though, because it has pictures in it.
Not the back cover. There's a whole paragraph there.
There you go. Okay, I'll give you that.
But, yeah, that's about really about it. Damn, everything else is art books. Shit.
So let's, I guess JM and I can take the brunt of the comic book talk, and mostly JM.
Yeah, mostly me.
You've read a lot more than I have this year. I've been really busy with everything, but there are some that we agree with, so let's go ahead and get into it.
Yeah, I mean, I read every day, literally, and I probably read about 10 comics every day. It's disgusting, but it happens.
That is a little disgusting.
Yeah, it's okay.
I hope you clean up after yourself.
I do.
Okay.
But
so what would be your number one favorite series of the past year?
You know, this actually is probably going to surprise you for me saying this, but overall, the best comic book series, I believe, of all last year, is actually DC Comics Injustice Year One. I don't know how.
Really?
Yeah. The reason being is because, I mean, I literally have read all 36 of them, and I've also read up to whatever Superior Spider-Man's on, and et cetera, et cetera. The best all-around series is Injustice because there's just sheer brutality, and it pretty much gives, like, anybody who hates Superman a reason to like him or to even hate him more.
Now, Injustice is it was an online series based on the video game.
Yeah, yeah. The entire story arc is based upon the video game, but it goes more in depth.
Okay.
I have never played the game, so I can't really indulge on if the story arc stays true to the game or branches off per character.
You would like the game because the game has a really nice in-depth story mode to it.
And really, the combat in it is actually very visceral, too. Like, you actually claw mm-hmm. through your characters that you love and hate.
That's awesome.
And you don't have to be an amazing, fighter player, because you can just, put it on easy and still play through the game and still have fun.
Right.
Or you could go on YouTube and watch the 3-hour movie.
No, you could do that, too.
Well, well, what they're doing in it looks like this is an ongoing, continuous comic book series from now on. You know, they actually do it weekly. It's a digital comic weekly. That okay. Remember last episode or the episode before we were discussing how DC Comics has these weekly digital comics, and then after a while, so they'll probably put out like 2 or 3. Maybe even 4 comics digitally, and then they'll release one entire comic, call it number one of a print. So
it's a little confusing.
Well, it is, but you don't have to. It's like kind of like a mini trade, if that makes any sense. But in anyways.
Was it a storyline that wrapped up?
No, it's continuing to year two. So basically, this is in one entire year of Superman losing his shit. He
like irredeemable.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah, it's kind of like Mark Waid's irredeemable, but he actually has people on his side. So,
right.
If you're a Batman fan and if you're a Superman fan, sometimes people believe that there should be multiple Justice Leagues, or they don't like the way that one of them is leading the Justice League. So, anyways, you have Batman leading one version of the Justice League, which they're not called the Justice League anymore, and the same thing with Superman's faction. But it all starts out because in the comic, Lois Lane is murdered by the Joker. And
as you would.
Yeah, and Superman blames the fact that Batman has continuously allowed the Joker to live that on the fact that the Joker had killed Lois Lane. So he gets pissed off of Batman, and he fucking picks up the Joker by his neck and then literally rips his fucking heart out in the comic.
I've seen that picture. He looks like a puppet.
He does. It's awesome. And that from that moment on, he, they've been broken in two. So what was interesting to me is throughout the entire year, I don't want to spoil it all, but I just wanted to kind of troll that out there for everybody to go out and read it. Every single issue is very entertaining. There are partnerships that you probably wouldn't expect, like Harley Quinn and Green Arrow. They actually become kind of smitten with one another. And then you've got at the end.
Weird, okay.
Yeah. Huh?
Weird.
Yeah, it is. But it's funny because she pokes fun. Everybody that pokes fun at the Green Arrow, she kind of does it. And you're, kind of like, you're kind of lame, but, you're kind of cool, in that respect. But you've got Martian Manhunter. he shows how powerful he can be. And the same thing with Captain Atom, which is a character that you really don't hear much about, but he is probably the only character in the DC universe that could literally kill Superman. So just with all that being said, you have to check it out. And then once you wrap up year one, which is, again, 36 comics, really, really easy reads, though. Okay. And then go on to year two, which just came out last week. And it falls right into it.
Now, I got to admit, I'm not so much of a DC fan. I do like some of the Batman stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I love some of the graphic novels, but I'm not – it's hard for me to keep up with DC because I start reading it and I get lost. I don't know who everybody is.
Yeah.
I am a Marvel zombie from way back in the day.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I see that a lot, and I always try to step away from being go team go. I always try to be like, okay, this is a really good fucking story. I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah.
You know,
I try that as well. Yeah. I mean, there was some stuff I read this year that you brought to my attention that wasn't even superhero based at all.
Right. And the same thing with Marvel for me. I mean, I am very, very big fan of Marvel, and Spider-Man is my favorite character. But I have to tell you,
you don't say.
Yeah, but I have to say, man, because of what Dan Slott's doing, I've actually been reading more DC comics. So,
because you were a fan of the Dan Slott era of when Superior Spider-Man first came out, and before that,
I
were a big proponent for him.
Yes, and I was, all the way up until about August, and it was like, come on, dude, wrap the fucking story up.
What was the defining moment? You're just like, all right, fuck it, I'm done.
I think it was right before the New York Comic Con in October. There was he was doing some pressers and talking about, I don't know, man, it's just something about him. I don't want to give him my money either because he's such a cocky little fat fucker. And I would love to grab him by his fat little beard and shake him.
Now, tell me how you really feel, though.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be one thing if you were, sports entertainer and you were trying to get people to hate you like fucking Triple H does, but Dan Slott's not. He's just a greedy little fat man who thinks he, is doing the world a favor by killing off Peter Parker. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm bitter or anything, but
oh, of course really, you're not what you're conveying whatsoever.
Yeah,
to try like you're sounding, and you just are.
Well, no, I like Superior Spider-Man. I do, but I'm tired of Dan Slott. I really don't want him on the comics anymore.
But it's ending soon, and they're going to be Peter Parker is coming back, but Dan Slott is still writing it.
Right, which is still not cool. I mean, he was
not good enough for you.
No. He was good for the first 100 issues he was writing. Now he's going into 150? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm tired of
that.
I want a new writer.
A lot. Bring Stan Lee back.
I want somebody.
Can that dude hold a pen anymore?
Probably not. But no, I'd really like to see him. I'd like to see somebody like Zeb Wells do something with him, who actually wrote a lot of Nova this past year, which also made my list.
You know Zeb Wells is one of the main writers for the Robot Chicken?
Yeah. Yeah, I did know that.
He's funny as hell.
He did the DC Comics version of Robot Chicken.
That's right. That's right. He did, was it New Mutants as well? That came out a couple years ago? That series for a while?
Yeah, he's done a lot of good stuff. And I'd actually like to see somebody else actually write Spider-Man. And I don't know. I don't want to see Superior Spider-Man end because I like that version of Spider-Man too, but I'm because of the way he was just drawing out the entire story arc, it was like, okay, you've got two fucking issues a month to play out your story, and you're still not doing it. And then you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy that introduced Angela from an entire different realm, and they had one issue coming out one time a month. And Brian Michael Bendis is doing probably five different comics, and he was still able to deliver it. And make
Bendis
my
is a beast.
List. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know. I'd like to just see somebody else writing it.
So I know one series that we both agree on that I didn't really get into till later in the year was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Every issue's awesome, man.
God, Bendis is such a beast on that series. It's well written. It's funny. It doesn't throw too much Marvel spacey stuff into your face, but
right. It's
set in space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's some Marvel series that are set in space. It's just like, I don't understand what the fuck is going on.
That's the reason why I gave up on Infinity. They lost me.
Yeah. It's a fun series. I mean, if you've seen previews for the movie, you know the characters are not they're a little strange.
Yeah.
So,
and Rocket Raccoon is fucking hilarious, and he's got so much humor to him. It's funny to watch him interact with Tony Stark.
I love Rocket Raccoon's catchphrase when he kills people. He just says, "Blam, I murder you."
Well, that's every point.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a joke in one of the issues. They're like, "Why do you ever get tired of saying that?" And he's like, "No, that's fun.
Why would you get tired of that?"
Exactly.
Come on.
And you know, the cool thing, too, is that Marvel is doing another reboot coming up this April, mm-hmm. which actually it's kind of started right, this, you know, earlier this month. It's called the All-New Marvel Now. And
oh, I read that preview issue, and it was... Mm.
The Silver Surfer, and, okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know why I hate Dan Slott now? Read the fucking Silver Surfer. Read
him
what he's
doing. He made the Silver Surfer's board like a dog.
Yeah.
And what? He can say silver on and silver off, and his the cosmic power what makes him silver goes away and he's a human.
What?
But and the whole point of... What? Exactly. And the whole point of Silver Surfer is he's a depressed... I mean, not, this is going to sound terrible, but he really... The powerfulness of his character relies upon the fact that he can never be human again. And for Dan Slott to just be like, "Oh, okay, I'm just going to sober down."
Did sober down? That's what it was.
It's so stupid.
That is.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see the face palming that I'm doing.
I can hear it.
That's horrible.
That is.
Yeah, and you know the Loki issue looks pretty cool, but going back to the whole,
I don't know if I'm digging that Loki, man. It's a little weird. It's like he's like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. What's going on?
It's a young Loki.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not evil yet.
That
so at that
make
point,
sense.
Well,
but how is he in the current universe?
I think because the time continuum is broken.
Of course it is.
But back to the Guardians of the Galaxy, if you can check online, I believe I posted it on my Instagram page, profile, whatever. Groot actually meets up with Jean Grey. And it's interesting because, you know, he normally just says, "I am Groot." That's all he says. But Jean Grey can tap into his mind and actually see, like, all the things he has to say. It's pretty cool.
That's a great segue into one of my favorite series of this past year. It's the All-New X-Men.
Yeah. Bendis is a beast.
God, man. It's such an easy way to bring the original characters back because – if you don't know, Jean Grey is dead in the normal 616 universe.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they bring her back into X-Men, basically? What you do is you have the X-Men from the 60s time travel to the current time.
Right.
So you have two versions of Cyclops, two versions of Beast, two Icemans, two Angels. Well, yeah, one I don't really consider the Angel they have now the real Angel, but anyways.
So wait,
it's weird.
So how does that work? Is that the same same human body form in the same universe going time traveling, or is it two different universes going coming together from the 60s to the current?
No, it's the same person, just different timelines.
Right.
Okay. Doc Brown would have a headache right now.
Yes, he would.
And two, wouldn't that make the older guys like massively old? Not massively old, but like strenuously old from the 60s compared to now.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why Beast did this is because he was hoping that by bringing Scott Summers into the present from the past, he would see back. You know, he would see into the future, and things would be changed completely. But it didn't work just automatically, just like he thought it was going to.
Just a quick, you know, one-on-one. Cyclops is now officially a dick. He started his own team. And
screw you guys, I'm getting my own team.
Basically, and he's not really evil in every sense of the way of the word, but he's not following the dream of Charles Xavier to the T. You know what I mean?
On my podcast, we just had Kirsten on, the cosplayer, and that was one of the questions that we asked her. It was like, all right, since she dresses up as Jean Grey, 90s Jean Grey to be exact. We asked her,
I got a little excited about that.
You're excited. Anyway. So we asked her, what was the difference? Who would you pick, Cyclops, Wolverine? She was saying, like, Cyclops now. If you see Cyclops now, it's pretty much if they took Wolverine's spirit and threw it into Cyclops, and Wolverine's just a grumpy old man.
That's actually a pretty good point. But you know what's funny is that they have two Cyclopses in the Marvel Universe right now, and I still fucking hate both of them. They both suck.
Well, that's something for you then.
Yeah.
You know, we watched the Wolverine movie, which we'll talk about later, but I spent a few minutes last night doing the most geekiest thing I've ever done on the internet. I actually looked up the height of different Marvel characters because we were watching the making of, and I think it was Len Wein who created Wolverine said, yeah, it's weird that they have the 6'3" actor because Wolverine's like 5'3".
Right.
And Kim's like, he's short. So I looked it up. I'm like,
he's supposed to be.
Yeah. He's one of the shortest characters in the universe.
Yeah. Next to Puck, who's a midget.
That's why Wolverine's so fucking angry.
That's a really...
It was the adamantium so heavy. He's got.
It's like osteoporosis.
Oh yeah. By the way, he lost his healing powers. He can't heal anymore. So
in the comics.
Yeah. So
I don't.
Yeah.
Oh boy, he's gonna die.
So, with all that being said, I think that overall, my favorite Marvel comics had to have been Nova, Guardians of the Galaxy, and I did like Superior Spider-Man, and I still read every single issue of it. I just don't care for it. The whole Superior Venom thing sucks.
Yeah,
but
I tried reading one of those. It was not fun.
I created this list before something happened in this past week, which leads up to the relaunch of The Amazing Spider-Man. So if you haven't read this week's, go ahead and read it and then send hate mail to Dan Slott. Anyways.
Yeah, you can find him on the Twitterverse because he is there.
Yeah. Also another really important comic that has ended is Scarlet Spider.
Yes.
It has ended. It was probably one of the best Scarlet Spiders ever. And
it was the best Spider-Man clone series set in Houston.
Yeah. And I'd actually like to see Christopher Yost go over and start writing The Amazing Spider-Man. So
that would be great.
Yeah.
Because I met him. He's a really nice guy. Scarlet Spider, he's joining a team, though, isn't he?
Yes, with Nova and a whole bunch of other characters. Sun Girl.
Speedball.
Liberty. And I think Polaris is in the new X-Factor. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways,
I read the first issue of that yesterday. That was actually quite good.
Yeah, you know, they're having another one coming out this coming week.
Oh, really? That quick?
Yeah, because they realized that they didn't even get to introduce another fucking character that was supposed to be on the team.
It felt very. I like Peter David as a writer, and it felt very. It wasn't a very superhero-esque book, which I liked.
Right. I agree. I like what they're doing with it, but the corporatizing the team. I like that.
Yeah.
But the New Mutants will be coming out, and Scarlet Spider's done, and as well as Venom. I didn't put it on the list here, but that was probably one of the better comics as well. But Venom's actually going to be going into the Guardians of the Galaxy. So
really? I didn't...
Yeah.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The Flash Thompson version of Venom, right?
Yes, and...
The badass, you know, he's going to be leaving Thunderbolts?
Yes, I think Thunderbolts.
Everybody should believe in that book.
Yeah,
that was fucking horrible.
Well, you know, it was good story writing, but the artist.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Minimalistic and horrible.
Terrible. And, I mean, I think my nephew could do better, and he's 7. But the cool thing about it is, if you haven't read Superior Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man gave Agent Venom legs. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with this or not, but Flash Thompson lost his legs in a war, and that's and the symbiote actually gave him the ability to walk.
Yeah.
But now he has these awesome mechanical legs that he doesn't need the symbiote to walk around. However, he does get the symbiote back from Superior Venom, Superior Venom, which is really terrible. And the way that Superior Venom has the symbiote ripped off of him leads up to the Amazing Spider-Man relaunch. And I think from this point on, Flash Thompson is absolutely respected by Captain America and Tony Stark. So I believe that's how they get involved with the Guardians of the Galaxy. So he becomes like the consistent communicator, I believe.
Because I mean, you have a team with Deadpool on, and you think it's going to be fun, but
yeah.
Speaking of, go ahead.
I was about to say, speaking of Deadpool, I don't know if you were going to segue into that.
Of course.
Okay, I'll let you take the helm back, sir.
No, go for it, dude. What were you going to say?
So I'm as you guys know, I'm not really into comic books all too much, but I saw pictures of Deadpool getting married.
Yeah.
Right, I've seen that picture. It's an upcoming. It's a spoof of the old Spider-Man cover.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Do you guys know anything about that? Because does he actually marry Death? Does he? Who's gonna trash the party? Because it's the comic book world, and nobody.
Well, if it's Death, then Thanos is gonna kill him, because Thanos loves Death, Lady Death. Yeah.
Right. It's true.
Well, so Thanos is gonna come down on Deadpool.
That would be awesome. I think that'd probably be the only person that could actually eliminate Deadpool, but they would never do that because he's a moneymaker, no?
Yeah. No, yeah.
But, and I'm going to wrap this whole long segment of my comic books with Image Comics.
Yes, sir.
If you are not...
Oops, sorry.
It's okay. That was like a laser beam shooting me. End the segment, Metal Gear... bastard!
Was that your... that was the timer.
Oh.
that was like the Oscars you have to get off.
We're going
to
start playing you off.
Yeah. Well, what's that? Green Day, actually. I know most people in here won't listen to Green Day, but check out this YouTube video where he goes, 1 minute, fuck you, I've been around since the 80s. And he starts smashing his guitar and everything.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I'm going to start doing that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. But Image Comics definitely is in the works to having one of their biggest years this coming year. They ended this year with some really, really good stories that actually are serious. You know, one of the things that Marvel and DC do is they have eliminated the sci-fi and horror aspect of comic books, you know, and that's where comic books actually kind of started.
I don't know. Thunderbolts was pretty horrific.
Yeah, in the wrong ways. Yeah. But they have, you know, they had Black Science, which was a horror sci-fi story. Manifest Destiny, which made my list.
Yeah, I just read the first issue. I'm behind on that one, but that is one of the strangest comics I've read that works really well.
Yeah, just a little rundown. It's Lewis and Clark's expedition out west. They were given orders per President Jefferson to protect the colonies from the monsters, and literally monsters. So it's really, really creepy writing. Artwork is creepy. There was actually a little panel that, I mean, I'm an agnostic atheist guy, but there was a little part in there where they had this creepy church drawing that was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I'm five, you know. But and also Velvet is another comic book that Image has, which is all about spying, espionage. There's this secretary who pretty much becomes a spy and starts kicking ass. So if you want some serious comics, those three are really good starters. I believe it was Dynamite Comics. I have to research this. If I'm wrong about whoever put it out, I apologize. Could have been Boom, could have been Dynamite. But anyways, One Dead Road is a really good story as well. It kind of has like this whole Punisher Taken vibe to it, where this guy's a cop and his family gets killed through a heist, and the justice system fails him, so he loses his shit and he's going to go start taking them down one by one.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it is fun. But
very Punisher-like, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Forever Evil next.
I read the first issue, and that's as far as I've gotten in that.
It's very, very convoluted because there's so many different things happening, but right now all the villains run the DC Universe, so it's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Bane should be.
Bane is wearing the cowl, so if that's anything to you guys out there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just at the library yesterday, I picked up some books I hadn't read yet. I picked up the trade of Batman: The City of Owls.
Yeah.
I haven't read this yet, and I've been wanting to. And I picked up Saga Volume 1, which is a series I've been really wanting to get into because our friends over at the Surly Nerd rave about how great it is. And I read the first issue out of the book last night, and I was confused as hell.
Yeah, it is very confusing, but you have to endure it, man. One of the things about Forever Evil and the one that I was just mentioning about Bane wearing the cowl, he actually fabricated a cowl because he realized that no matter how powerful he is, the city of Gotham still fears the bat. So he had to become like Bat Bane, I guess. And from that point on, he actually wants to resurrect all the owls as well to help.
Hey, what would that sound like?
What's that, Batman? Oh, man, that's going to be tough because, you know, I always want to resort back to the Christian Bale Batman.
Right.
But I don't know how I'm going to be able to do the Bane voice with the Christian Bale vibe.
Can any of you guys do the Bane voice?
Yes.
Okay, let me hear it.
I can't because you guys are all fans of Kevin Smith, and you're going to judge me towards the way Kevin Smith does it. So he's a genius. I can't.
So I guess we'll move on to the last couple that are on my list. I didn't read as much as you did this past year, but
yeah, nobody did.
I really enjoyed. You got me into the Avengers AI series, and
yeah, that was
I really
good
do
one too. Should have been
like
my list,
series.
But it didn't.
I'm a huge fan of Vision, and just the writing and the style of the book works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a young Hank Pym. It's not an old movie version of Hank Pym.
You know, I kind of regret from not putting it on my list because it should have been.
Okay, you can jump on now.
Yeah, okay. Well, we also have Avengers AI from
yep.
And it's literally all about the artificial intelligence and Hank Pym. And the one thing that, you know, I mentioned this prior to this show, Hank Pym actually is, he has a mental illness, and it's very interesting for them to go on that serious, serious route because Marvel Comics is all about being silly.
Right. And they do tackle it in a real way.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So, read that and everything else I told you to read.
Another series that's a little weird that I didn't think I was going to like is Avengers Arena, which is, it's set in Arcade's Murder World. And if you remember the Arcade character, he, gets a bunch of people together and like, so the series is basically, the Hunger Games for unused Marvel characters in a way.
Yeah. Like Darkhawk.
Yeah. Darkhawk. And there's a lot of characters that were from, one of my favorite series, Runaways.
Yeah.
X-23 they threw in there, and it lasted 18 issues. It just ended, and there's going to be a sequel to it coming out sometime pretty soon.
Interesting.
But it has a beginning, middle, and an end, so it does have great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fun little read.
I had a hard time getting into it, and I'm probably going to have to read it all collectively because,
sure,
you know, just waiting for it, it was kind of like, okay, this is good, but I'm going to have to drop
it. It's one of those things if you don't know every character, it's sort of confusing at first.
Yeah.
Like Young Avengers, I'm really digging that story, how they're handling that series, and, you know, one of the main characters, there's two main characters in the series that are gay. In the relationship, you know?
Yeah.
It's you know, Marvel's been handling stuff like that, but not really drawing attention to it.
Right. Well,
not like what DC was like, hey, we're going to have a gay character. No.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many different awesome things. I don't know. It's kind of weird because Marvel doesn't really get serious about a lot of things. But, man, yeah. When it comes to social issues like mental illness and homosexuality and then having a black president, they're all about it. It's so
That's
weird.
True. They are. It's so weird.
Yeah.
The last couple, I'm really enjoying the new Star Wars ongoing series that's set between the, I guess, the fourth and fifth movie. But, you know, with the news that, you know, Disney owns Marvel now and Disney owns Star Wars, all Star Wars comics are going to Marvel. So
yeah, that's going to be fun.
And Dark Horse has been doing a great job. Well, not a great job, but there's been a lot of misses because they dive really into the history too much for me.
Wait a second. I just had a thought.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Will the Star Wars universe be in Earth 616?
I hope not.
Because I want to see Magneto crush Darth Vader up into a can.
Oh, did you guys... There's a YouTube video out there of Patton Oswalt talking about the next Star Wars.
Yes, in the courtroom.
Yeah, in the courtroom where he's talking about the villain being Thanos.
That was an extended clip from like a Parks and Recreation, I think it was.
Oh my god, I saw that this morning. That is magical.
So if Disney owns all these characters in Marvel Comics, do you think we're going to have Disney characters meeting Marvel Comics, meeting Star Wars Comics? Where's my Donald or where's my Scrooge McDuck and Howard the Duck, Marvel team up?
That sounds like a video game.
It does sound like a video game, and you know,
like, the new Kingdom Hearts.
New Kingdom Hearts, there you go.
Thanos and Darth Vader, they are in some deep shit because Mickey Mouse is the Dark Lord.
He is the leader of all the band that's made for you and me.
Yeah. He gets everybody tricked in with all his happiness, but really it's just a ploy to get you in. So he's doing it the passive-aggressive way.
Yep.
And he does have that Keyblade.
Yeah.
if there is a Star Wars level in the next Kingdom Hearts, I'm going to flip tables.
Well, you know they're missing the point because they could do bleeding into our video game discussion. You know, Disney Infinity came out. They could start putting out sets based on Marvel characters and Star Wars characters anytime.
Oh, yeah. Me and Ninja were talking about that, my co-host on Two Ninjas One Podcast. He goes, if they start putting out that kind of stuff, he will give all their money and children that he has.
I thought he was going to give away the shit that he already bought. But
I was like, Ninja, if you really do that, because I'm sorry, this may be our last podcast if they say that.
I want to put my Jack Skellington figure into a Star Wars playset and play that.
That was very sexual. I'm going to put my Jack Skellington.
So that's what you're calling it now. You're Jack Skellington.
If only you knew.
Oh.
You really knew. And I'm going to say the last series that I really, really enjoyed this past year was Hellboy in Hell.
Yeah.
It's Mike Mignola actually came back to write and draw the whole series. But the worst part of that series is, for me, the first issue came out in 2012, December. Then you had the next three came out in 2013. The last one was on March 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And then you didn't get the conclusion until December of this year.
Wow. Right.
So it was a long time between the fourth and fifth issue. It was sort of, it was hard to deal with.
Well, that touches base on one of our guests earlier this year with Jerry Cassell. You know, that's one of the greatest things about having trades is that, you know, you get the whole entire thing an entire story all at one time rather than having to wait, which sucks. Mm-hmm. In the age of information technology, that's one of the reasons why people pirate stuff. It's because they don't want to fucking wait.
That's true.
True story.
Preach it, brother.
Yeah. Fuck
that. That's why I don't read. I just skip right to the ending.
Yeah.
Oh,
JD's only looking for the money shot.
Yeah. Where everyone blows up and everyone's happy. Wait, that's not porn. That's Star Wars.
Star porn.
Star Wars. But I guess I read a couple books. Not really, but yeah. Most of the books that I read are either Disney-based or heavy metal-based. So I've been reading Rex Brown's book, his autobiography about his time in Pantera. And there's some – everybody, if you're a Pantera fan, you really need to read that. And I've also been reading the Al Jorgensen book. It's an interesting read. That guy had some years dealing with drugs.
I was about to say, he's been through some shit.
Yeah, he's been through some shit.
You know, and I haven't read anything like that as far as a musician, other than Jim Morrison. But, you know, you actually made me think about seeing this video that I watched last night, Rex Brown playing with Phil Anselmo and Anthrax at the Golden Gods Award this past year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He looked like shit.
He's looking old.
Yeah. He's got something wrong with him. But other than age, I mean, it looks like he has some sort of serious health issues. I mean, he's really bad looking. He's always kind of looked like shit anyways, but, you know, he's looking extra shitty right now.
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, maybe he's got some chicken nuggets in his diaper.
Maybe we should ask his doctor.
Yeah, I think I'm looking to get knocked out, huh? By Phil Anselmo.
Well, let's take a quick break and go to some of these voicemails and messages we've received from some of our special friends about their favorites of 2013. Take it away.
Holy shit, it's Will Bozarth, and I am here to tell you about the shit that I enjoyed the most about the year 2013. I saw the movie Cheap Thrills at the Philadelphia Film Festival. It's about two former classmates bumping into each other at a bar, and they run into a millionaire and his hot-ass blonde girlfriend. The classmates, former classmates rather, both need money desperately, and they get tempted by the blonde and the millionaire boyfriend with lots of money. I dare you to do this for $500. I dare you to do that for $1,000. It leads to a very lucrative possibility and a lot of pain. Comes out March 24th, 2014 in the United States. Now, I'm not sure if that's theatrically or digitally or whatever. You should see it because it is friggin' awesome. It stars Sarah Paxton as the hot-ass blonde. You know her from Innkeepers and some fish movie for little girls. Pat Healy, who's also from Innkeepers and the creepy movie Compliance. I think it came out in 2012. Compliance. You should probably see that one too. David Koechner, who plays Champ Kind in the Anchorman films. Whammy! And Ethan Embry, who you might know as Rusty Griswold from Vegas Vacation. The money is mine. Anyway, I also saw The Sacrament at the Philadelphia Film Festival. Eli Roth produced this documentary about a Jonestown-esque cult. There's going to be a wide theatrical release on May the 1st, 2014. It's written, directed, and edited by Ty West. He's awesome! I love his two movies, The Innkeepers and House of the Devil. They're two of my favorite horror films of the last decade. Yeah, but wait, documentary written by Ty West? That's because it's not a real documentary. It looks like a real documentary. It's perfectly shot and it's suspenseful. It's not a comedy, so it's not a mockumentary. It's a fake documentary. It's a fockumentary. It's a fake documentary. So yeah, Cheap Thrills and The Sacrament. You should see them because they're fucking awesome. What else do I have to tell you? I attend at least a dozen conventions throughout the year. That averages one a month, or at least one a month, because I go to at least 12 a year. Anyway, the best conventions that I went to were put on by two organizations. The first is Days of the Dead, daysofthedead.net. They hit four cities a year, Los Angeles, Chicago, Atlanta, and Indianapolis. These people are very knowledgeable. They're passionate about the genre of horror movies. Horror movies are awesome, and these people are awesome too. They run a very tight ship, and it's so organized. People's heads explode because they don't expect a horror convention to be this well organized. You'll see me at any convention that they put on because I'd rather travel by bus for 15 hours to see one of their conventions than drive 20 minutes to Cherry Hill to see a local one that is only about money and putting their hands inside your pocket and their foot in your asses. The other convention I like to go to is called Mad Monster Party. It's based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, but last year they also did one in New Orleans, and later on this year they're doing one in Phoenix, Arizona. Same deal as Days of the Dead, they know what the hell they're doing, so if you want to attend a good convention this year, go to fucking Days of the Dead or Mad Monster Party. One of my most passionate hobbies is collecting autographs, as you can tell from the autograph convention rant that I just went on. I have over 3,000 autographs, and I tend to wait outside of Broadway stage doors and David Letterman and The Daily Show, etc., for like 6 hours waiting for somebody to show up. Anyway, my favorite autograph that I got in 2013 is of Michael Douglas. I took a bus from South Jersey to New York, then I took a train from New York City to Brooklyn, and I met Neil Gaiman there. Then I took another train from New York City up to Connecticut, and I stayed at a friend's house. Then I took another train from that place in Connecticut to Fairfield, Connecticut. I walked 3 miles to where Michael Douglas was filming his movie, And So It Goes, directed by Rob Reiner and also starring Diane Keaton. This was on June the 19th. My favorite movie of all time is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I have an original video release poster that hung in a store's window when the thing first came out on VHS. It was $40 for the fucking VHS back in the 70s. Anyway, I had 15 signatures on this poster, and I successfully got my 16th. I also got a picture of Mr. Douglas. It was fucking awesome. Anyway, those are my top experiences of 2013, so suck it.
Previously on Metal Geeks.
You look like half a butt puppet.
Greetings, adventurers. Wait, wrong show. We're on the wrong fucking show here.
Wait, we're not on our show?
We're not on our show.
Fuck.
What are we doing here? This is weird.
Are we allowed to say fuck on this show?
I think we are. Too late now. Fuckity fuck fuck fuck. Hey guys, this is James.
And Sony.
And we are
The Surly Nerd.
We are the guys from thesurlynerd.com, friends of the Metal Geeks and the Metal Geek universe. And at Carrie's request, we are here just talking a little bit about our 2013 year in review.
It sucked.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much all you need to know.
Good night.
All right, so let's talk about some video games real quick. It was 2013. It was a good year for video games. And kicking off some of the games that we played over the year, you played The Cave.
I like The Cave. The Cave was a lot of fun.
Yep. Who did that?
That was Double Fine.
Double Fine Games.
Yeah,
yeah,
Double Fine. They make it's dark. It's still kind of a kid's game, but it's dark. It's definitely follows their history coming from, you know, Monkey Island and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Xbox Live, get that shit. It was cheap as hell for Christmas, so I got it and immediately started playing. I was like, this game's cool.
Let's see here. I played Tomb Raider this year. And I think this was a great reboot for the series. I think that Square Enix did really good at acquiring another company and letting them put out their own fucking game. I like this kind of darker version of Laura, and I'm hoping that we get a sequel of it here soon. So,
and not so much mysticism in this one.
Yeah, not so much. It was just kind of straight up, action.
I watched you play a bit of it. I liked it. It was a good game.
Let's see here. What else did we play this year? I played Bioshock Infinite.
I have not finished the first one, so I can't.
Yeah, I don't think there's very much that I have to say about that other than the fact that, you know, we do record thesurlynerd.com in a little place called Rapture Studios. Our entire studio is decked out in Bioshock decor, as one might say. And you know what? Even with that bias going into it, loved it, had a lot of fun with it. It's my personal game of the year, so there is that. Let's see here. We also played Injustice: Gods Among Us. This was a fighting game of the DC Comics universe.
The reviews go 50-50 on this. I like it because the story was actually cool, and a fighting game with a cool story has like never happened.
Yeah, the fact that the team who brought you Mortal Kombat of all things brought you this amazing story mode, unlike any other story mode in fighting games.
Well, Mortal Kombat has a story mode. It was in the movies.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was a story. It was a something. It was something. Also this year, I played Guacamelee, originally brought out on the PS3, then brought out to the Vita later on. It's a Metroidvania, if you're familiar with that style of game. It's about a luchador trying to save his woman, and it's a whole lot of fun.
It's meme-tacular.
It is super meme-tacular. If you're into internet-related things.
And if you're listening to Metal Geeks or thesillynerd.com, you probably are into internet related things.
How else are they listening to us? That'd be weird.
Aliens.
Aliens could be listening to us.
And I used a meme.
Maybe he doesn't even have any listeners. Maybe they're all aliens. Are you guys aliens? I don't know. Let's see. What else did we play this year? I played Poker Night 2. This was it was Telltale Games that produced this.
May have done them. I have no idea.
And this is, of course, the big conglomeration of Valve and Army of Darkness and LucasArts and all these characters coming together to play poker.
A game that seems like it would be impossible to get that lineup, but somehow they've done it twice.
Yeah, absolutely insane. And if you like playing poker, it's...
I do, it's sometimes.
Do you like Gladys from Portal?
I'm in love with her.
Then
she's my spirit animal.
If you enjoy these two things, then maybe you should play Poker Night 2.
You've been telling me to play this for a while.
I have. Let's see, we both played Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
I have played part of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. I played through the whole thing. I played through Far Cry 3 as well. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, for those of you not familiar with it, is a first-person shooter that is basically a giant ripoff of every major sci-fi movie from the 80s, but in a very loving, humorous, poking fun at it kind of way.
Yeah, the humor is amazing in that game. Just the... It's unlike Far Cry 3. It's a separate entity of the developers having fun for once.
Yeah, you don't have to play Far Cry 3 to play Blood Dragon. If you're looking for a very unique, very funny experience, I would definitely recommend going onto Xbox Live or the PSN and picking up Blood Dragon.
Did you play Far Cry 3?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, that was actually a late 2012 release, which is why I didn't make the list here. But yeah, I did love Far Cry 3 a lot. Let's see here. I picked up Shadowrun Returns, which was originally a Kickstarter title. And this is back to the grassroots of Shadowrun, like the way that it was back in the SNES and Genesis era. And it's everything I love about Shadowrun. And there's some glitches, and it's not perfect, but it's a Kickstarter game. So
yeah,
you give a little.
I'm noticing a theme here. You've played a lot of games, and I have not.
Well, it did take you – how long have you been playing Darksiders 1?
Over a year.
There you go. we both did play DuckTales Remastered, though.
Oh, shit. Yes. That game is so much fun.
Yes.
I was waiting like anxiously for the date for that to come out so I could buy it, and then I did, and then I was happy.
Yeah, the when I picked up DuckTales Remastered, I believe I picked up a lot of alcohol. I picked up a lot of alcohol and locked myself in my apartment and just did nothing but play DuckTales and drank and just let my mind.
I kind of did the same thing, but I've been doing it at a level every so often. Okay. That's how I beat
it. So you've been having it in bits and pieces.
Yeah, I did a level every now and then so I could be like, I'm kind of drunk. I want to play DuckTales.
There you go. That's not not a bad way to approach it. That's how I approach The Walking Dead Telltale games is, you know, one episode at a time. Don't hurry my way through it.
Yeah, so. It's DuckTales. It's not a very long game.
Also, Space Hulk came out this year, another Kickstarter title based on the board game from Games Workshop.
Okay.
Yes, from Games Workshop, the Warhammer 40K universe.
Brain fart.
I highly recommend it if you enjoy the 40K universe. And if you've never played Space Hulk before, it's really great. It's a pseudo-survival horror, I guess you'd call it.
Okay, yeah. People give that one a go.
And you played Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Yes. I played this directly after I had played Deadpool, and I kind of put it down right after I got it because it was just the slow version of Deadpool.
Right. So not fun at all?
No, it was fun. I couldn't really get into it because I was used to Deadpool's really fast movements, and Turtles are slow comparatively.
Mm-hmm.
They're not so spazzy.
They are turtles.
They don't teleport.
Yes.
I like the teleportation.
Yes, they are the heroes in a half shell, I've heard.
They might have some sort of power. I'm not sure if it's what it's derived from. It might be turtle power?
It's possible.
I think so.
All right. So the last item that we have on our list for 2013 is what you previously had just mentioned, which was Deadpool.
And that's my game of the year because that game was fucking awesome.
So Deadpool came out to some really strange critical acclaim. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. I mean, it was...
It was really split. It was either you really liked the game a lot or you fucking hated it. And I think the people that fucking hated it kind of won out, but those of us that played it and loved it think it's the most amazing, fun, silly, budget title game, and we got exactly what we wanted. We wanted a shitty, weird, bad Deadpool game makes fun of itself.
It came out at a reduced cost. I mean, they weren't trying to gorge you for $60 when it came out.
Yeah, no, it was a budget title game. It was totally just on the cheap.
And I think that was one of my preferred games of the year, honestly. I mean, you picked it up. You knew what you were going to get going into it. It was going to be funny. It was going to be fun. It wasn't overly difficult. It wasn't going to be Devil May Cry. So,
yeah.
So I think that's everything that we have for this.
For video games.
Yeah, for video games. And that's all he wanted was video games. So, yeah.
I don't know if you talk about movies. I have no idea. Carrie, you didn't give us directions. You're bad at this.
All right. So, yeah, that was our video games in review for 2013. If you like what you heard here and you want to hear the full extended version where we cover movies, TV shows, and everything else that went down over this year, Tony, where can they find us?
TheSurlyNerd.com, where you can stream all our episodes, including our year in review episode that I can't remember what the fuck we called.
It was probably that.
We do a weekly show. Check us out, TheSurlyNerd.com. You can also do Facebook.com/TheSurlyNerd. Twitter's at the Surly Nerd. James will get to you on that because I think Twitter's gay. Not necessarily gay, but pretty tarded. All right, so yeah.
Way to ruin his show.
And if you like hearing, if you want to talk to us or anything, thesurlynerd@gmail.com. There you go.
All right, thank you very much, guys, for listening to us. And until next year, guys, stay metal.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman. You are listening to Metal Geeks, and I must say, you've made an excellent choice.
What's up, Metal Geeks? This is Maurice with Sanctus Bellum here to keep the Black Flame burning with some of 2013's greatest artistic offerings. As far as albums that were released in 13, there was some really great stuff that came through the door. But going through sort of like the top 10, band from the UK, Person, with a U, not an E, Circle in the Blue Door, an amazing throwback to 60s and 70s, and the Widow, Coven, Witchcraft, Destroys Minds, meets the Beatles and Black Sabbath. SOG, Delusions of Grandeur, In Solitude, Sister Album, Steve Wilson, The Raven That Refused to Sing, Ghost BC, Infinitesimum, Troubles Distortion Field Album, The Wild Hunt by Wu-Tang, an incredibly varied black metal offering that really kind of stretches the boundaries of black metal. Of course, anything that Arjen Lupusson touches is going to be gold, so Arion's A Theory of Everything makes the list. Beelzefuzz's self-titled album, a really amazing offering that I think people should spend some time taking a look at. Horizont's album Time Warrior was another great throwback album this year. And then a couple of honorable mentions, Mastermind from Candlemass, Leif Edling's newest project, Avatarium's self-titled album, fantastic. Haunting vocals, great guitar tone. Texas's own Scorpion Child self-titled album this year on Nuclear Blast, absolutely great. As far as movies go, Place Beyond the Pines, an incredibly introspective piece I thought was great. American Hustle, Wolf of Wall Street, World's End, This is the End. And then honorable mention to Spring Breakers, merely for the fact that Franco's whispered remembrances of spring break sound like the delusional ramblings of some sort of a monk on LSD trying to contemplate the meaning of the universe. As far as TV goes, American Horror Story Coven continues to be amazing. Walking Dead, it'll be really exciting to see what they do with that in February. Justified and Sons of Anarchy never seem to disappoint either. So overall, a pretty good mix. And that's it for my thoughts on 2013.
Hey, Carrie, here's my voicemail for you. Hey there, this is Freeman Williams with the Yes I Know blog at drfreaks.com, the dailygrindtest.com podcast. And I'm only qualified to talk about movies. Here's my best of 2013. First of all, Gravity. That's just the first movie where I have ever said you need to watch this in 3D. Pacific Rim, which would have fulfilled every anime fan's dreams if they just stopped yelling, but Neon Genesis Evangelion long enough to watch it. And The Conjuring for being a horror movie that delivered scares with performances and situations, not just lopping off body parts. Home Video, my comfort and joy, is a rather expensive Zatoichi box set from Criterion. Movies about a blind swordsman righting wrongs in corrupt 19th century Japan. They made 25 of those in just 10 years. There's a reason they were so popular. And then on an up note, Ron Fricke's Sansara, hit video with a reference quality 4K Blu-ray of 70mm photography. Just pretty pictures to chill to. Sometimes that's all you need. Happy New Year. Be excellent.
Hi, this is Ray Arate from Immortal Bird and Thrasimlet, and I'm just calling to list some of my favorite things from 2013. My favorite album, there were a lot, but a few were definitely Colored Sands from Gorguts, One of Us is a Killer from Dillinger Escape Plan, 111 from Shining, and Old Morning's Dawn from Summoning. As far as video games go, didn't really get out there that much, but two games I thought were amazing were The Last of Us and GTA 5, obviously. And I just saw The Wolf of Wall Street last week, and it was amazing. I also saw Her, which I really liked. My favorite documentary, and maybe even my favorite movie of the whole year, was Blackfish, and I would highly recommend checking it out, and I'm pretty sure it is still on Netflix. So yeah, alright, I think that's it. Take care. Bye.
Hey, this is Mike Ronan Fan from Altmus.com. Just calling in to say which ones are my favorites for 2013. Favorite game, definitely hands down, has to be Arkham Origins, the prequel to Arkham Asylum. It has its flaws, but I still love the story and the music, and Troy Baker and did a great job on the voice acting. Favorite movie, hands down, Gravity. Very beautiful cinematography, very nice long shots. TV shows, probably Breaking Bad, but that's no surprise to everyone. And that's all I got for 2013, my favorites.
Hey, Metal Geeks, this is Brian McBalls, and I'm calling to tell you guys about my favorite stuff from 2013. So let me get this on. My favorite video game would probably have to be Bioshock Infinite. Amazing story, amazing atmosphere. I don't know, it was just that game really stuck with me, and the social commentary was pretty awesome. If I had to pick a favorite movie this year, it's a tough one, but I would say, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Fucking Benedict Cumberbatch as Smaug, and he fucking kills it. And the CGI on that dragon is just pretty awesome. Favorite TV show of 2013, Breaking Bad. The epic conclusion to an epic series. I don't know if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, anybody, you gotta watch that show. It's amazing. And my favorite music of 2013, I listened to a ton of Opeth, Devin Townsend, and Rich Lou. So, rock on, guys. This is Brian McBalls out.
Hey, this is Jordan Wade. I just want to give my favorites for the year of 2013. The best movie I saw in the past year was 12 Years a Slave. The best video games, there's actually a few of them, were Grand Theft Auto V, The Last of Us, and, of course, MLB 13, The Show. And the best music I heard this year is, honestly, from the film Inside Llewyn Davis.
Doing my part to support the Metal Geek podcast and MSR cast. My nomination for Metal Release of 2013, Disarm the Descent by the one and only Killswitch Engage. Welcome back, Jesse Leach. You guys, bring the metal. Can't wait for 2014. Keep up the good work.
Hey, this is Marcus Sabon, writer-director of The Good Friend, calling in to give my shout-outs for 2013. Unfortunately, my broke ass couldn't see very many movies or play a lot of video games. However, I did watch a lot of TV, because what else are you going to do when you're sitting on the couch, right? So I wanted to give a shout-out to Game of Thrones, Sons of Anarchy, The Walking Dead, and, rest in peace, Breaking Bad. That was a hell of a show right there. Had a great run. Glad it went out the way it did. All right, hail to the Metal Geeks. Y'all take care.
Metal Geeks, what's up everyone? This is Hakan, Xbox Live Hero Type XD. Hope you guys are having an awesome year so far, and I hope you guys had a great 2013. Actually, some of my favorite moments from 2013 was actually, my favorite movie was definitely Man of Steel. Man of Steel was probably the best, one of the best adaptations of a comic book character that I've seen in a while, and I really love it and can't wait for the next one to come out. One of the comics I've been reading last year and this year is Animal Man. Definitely check it out. It's a nice, gory, great storyline with a very obscure character. It's really, really good stuff. My favorite game from last year had to be definitely Pokemon X and Y. It's one of those things that that came out, and I felt like it actually revolutionized a really long tenure of a game, and it's just, I think it's one of the best games out there, and it's really, really fun. Also, I'm into FPS games, so Call of Duty Ghosts was another big one for me as well. But anyway, that's it. I hope you guys have a great one, and continue to rock out.
Hey, Metal Geeks. This is Gerald, Metal Dad, and my favorites of 2013 are TV shows, The Walking Dead, of course, The Big Bang Theory, Orphan Black, Orange is the New Black, Sleepy Hollow, Witch Doctor, How I Met Your Mother, and the final season of The Office. My favorite movies of 2013 were Gravity, which is by far the best movie I've ever seen in 3D, Kick-Ass 2, 47 Ronin, This is the End, and Pacific Rim. Video games 2013. The only game I bought last year was Disney Infinity, and that's my list for 2013.
And you are listening to Metal Geeks Podcast. Rock out with your geek out.
So let's move on to video games. And let's let JM start first, because I know you didn't really play that much this past year, but you did play a couple.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those guys that I tend to read a lot more than I play video games. But
well, we're at the opposite sides of the table then.
Exactly. Exactly what I was thinking about when you said that you don't read comics earlier. And I was like, well, it's because you're playing video games. And that's probably what you're thinking now. So
I try to read my comics and play video games at the same time.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
And listen to music.
Well, I'm one of those guys that I tend to play like the mindless type of unlocking of goals, like old Sonic the Hedgehog. You collect as many rings as you possibly can, and Mario, you collect as many coins. And that's what I did with the Lego games. I really, really enjoy all the Lego games, but in particular, I love the Lego Marvel Super Heroes game.
We are on the same page on that one.
Yeah, that's that whole table, I take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole side of the table is digging that game.
Yeah.
And you know what's so funny, as you think about it, is Traveler's Tale is owned by Warner Brothers, who owns DC.
Well, that's weird.
It's weird to see that Warner Brothers logo on a Marvel video game.
Yeah.
Man, money talks.
Yep. I mean, they had the sets. I mean, the sets sold well, so why not have the video game?
Right. And then they had what? How many characters did they have in the actual game?
I'm probably about 50, 60% done.
Yeah, something like that.
And I know, Jornell, you can agree with me. This is like, it's my obsessive nature with video games of having to collect everything.
Yeah,
I want to unlock all the characters. I want to unlock everything. But I have heard that the some of the levels, like the driving stuff and the flying.
It's broken as anything, man.
Yeah. So I was listening to another podcast I listened to, is CADcast, and Wombat on there said he's 96% done.
Wow.
He
CADcast also features a guest we had on earlier this year, Christian Spicer, just in case
No. Wombat's on a podcast with Christian.
Well, see, there you go.
Called Uninformed Opinions, but oh. Yeah. But he said he got so far into the game, he's just like, he unlocked Stan Lee, he has all the characters, all that shit, and there's like 4% left, and the 4% that's left is all the flying levels. He's like, fuck it, I'm done. He's like, I'm gonna call it a draw here, I'm done.
That's exactly where I am. I am 84% done. I've got Deadpool, I've got all those hidden ones, I've got the multipliers to buy everyone out and all their costumes, and now it's just down to the ones that are actually missing in the level and the drive and the flying.
You need to come over and help me unlock all the Deadpool shit, man.
Oh yeah, dude.
Because I'm still playing it on the 360 because I got so far in the game and you know the new systems came out and I'm like, should I trade mine in and just rebuy it and play over? But I decided against it at the last minute.
that's a long track back just to for Legos.
So have you guys have Thanos and Havoc as well on your...
Yes,
yeah?
I do.
Yep.
Oh, man, I want those.
And I actually, I bought the Asgard Pact recently.
How was it with Malekith? Or I guess that's how you
Malekith was cool, but I really got to say, Odin's pretty badass.
Yeah.
He'll just go in there, wreck some shit. Wreck some Lego, wreck some Legos up, man. But it's great the amount of Marvel fanboys that was put into this game. It's really a comic book nerd's video game dream, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Character-wise, I mean, they put Howard the Duck in the game. I'm not a fan of the character in the game. I don't like the character design in the game, but...
Man, you made me think about something I haven't thought about in years.
Howard the Duck?
Duck tits.
I think about that every day.
Oh, it's them DTs.
Oh, yeah.
Remember in the movie when he was being pulled into the machine or whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
He flies through and this woman's taking a bath, or this duck is taking a bath.
Oh, yeah.
And there's duck tits.
Yep.
Woo.
Woo.
One of George Lucas's worst movies ever.
Yeah.
That's...
But at least he owns up to it and people recognize it. It's not like that Star Wars Christmas special. That he did.
I love that, man. So, yeah, anytime you can put B. Arthur with Star Wars together, come on, that's a good time.
It's so weird.
I'm gonna get burned at the stake for saying this, but I think I have not watched the entirety of the Star Wars universe. But the only one that I have watched is...
What, the movies?
The episode one. And the Christmas special. Well, that being said, I think I got the worst of the whole series out of the way.
Wait a minute, that's all you've ever seen?
Yes.
Okay, you're coming over this week, man. We're gonna watch it on Blu-ray.
Damn it.
I'm gonna put the any section with Jar Jar Binks is gonna go on repeat for you.
That is not enticing me to come over and watch Star Wars. You're gonna come over and we're gonna watch 16 hours of pure Star Wars, but we're gonna put Jar Jar on repeat for you.
Yep.
Again,
I can't believe you've never seen the movies. That's weird.
It was a weird family. My family was totally into Star Trek.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that we had this big versus kind of deal going, but my dad was like, I dig the story more on Star Trek than Star Wars. And I'm like, that's right, Dad. You know the truth.
So do you guys at the Alton's house have the Star Wars set there?
With our new roommate, I believe so. I know TJ is a huge Star Wars nerd. Or fan, better said.
Nope, nerd's a good term for Star Wars.
Fanboy.
I can live with that. Geek.
Fanboy.
I prefer more. Fanboy.
Fanboy.
Not as much as I used to be, but yeah, still.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really been a big Star Wars or Star Trek geek. I don't know. It kind of floated me by, but I did go see the first episode one on opening day. I don't know if that constitutes as some sort of a geek
punishment.
Status. Yeah, or punishment.
Punishment, something like that. I don't hate the prequel movies. A lot of people, I hate them. There's some things that are wrong with them, but it's a totally different movie style than the original trilogy. You just got to look at it that way.
Right.
It's very political based, and, I do like it.
You know, and it's funny, too, because I watched it as a kid. My brother loved Star Wars when we were growing up, and I couldn't grasp a storyline as much as I should have back when I was younger.
Right.
But most, I don't know if this happens for you guys too, but like as I get older, storylines, I seem to connect a lot more with them, and I seem to understand and appreciate them a lot more. You know, like you see it, like you watch a movie when you're younger, and then you rewatch it again. Like I watched Running Man recently, and it was so awesome as a kid. And when I was older, I actually caught a lot more in the movie than I ever have in my life.
Right.
You know? So.
Some movies hold up, some don't.
It's like Shrek. I did not know there were so many innuendos in Shrek.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of those, DreamWorks and even Disney stuff, there's a lot of inside joke for adults that kids are not going to get, and you watch them as a kid, you're like, oh, okay. And you watch them when you're an adult, you're like, holy crap, I can't believe they put that in there.
Yeah, right. Like when they came to the castle and they're like, I guess he's making up for something. I'm like, what? Did they just really say that?
Oh, yeah. He's compensating for something there.
Yep.
Yep.
SpongeBob does that shit too.
Dick jokes in cartoons are funny. Yeah.
Dick jokes in general. Dick and fart jokes all the way.
Exactly.
Always.
Kids get the fart jokes. Kids don't really get the dick jokes, though.
That's adult dick fart jokes.
So we have two ways we can move on from here, since we've been talking about movies and video games. Let's let's continue on the video game still.
Yeah, go
so,
for it.
I've said my piece about the Lego Marvel. I love that game. I want to finish the hell out of it. What about you, JD? What have you been playing?
Okay, so let me get my list out.
Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2.
Going back in review of 2013, the games that I have played and completed, Tomb Raider.
Wait a minute. I hear you flipping through pages now.
He's got a volume over there.
We got an encyclopedia of games that you beat this year, man.
It's funny because like you're flipping through pages. I'm like, I'm writing on my Note 3 and there's no page sounds. But there are pages, which really tripped me out. I'm just going to break it down real quick. Tomb Raider, because of the story, that was actually really good and a pretty memorable game.
Yes.
GTA 5, obviously. It's pretty in-depth. Saints Row on the opposite side of things.
Yes.
Saints Row 3 and 4, because I think DLC came out in between both of the years. And then Borderlands 2 DLC.
I actually read somewhere that the actress or the voice actor of Lara Croft got death threats.
Right, I heard that too. That's ridiculous.
That I didn't know, and yet the definitive collection that's just coming out put her likeness more into the game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, Tomb Raider was probably one of my favorite games of the year. Narratively, it was an amazing experience. The game looked great. It was a lot of fun. I mean, just the gameplay-wise, it was probably one of the best games I played all year. Mm-hmm. Cool. I mean, it was one of those games you don't want to put down and stop playing.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am. I would have said Bioshock Infinite, but I have not finished it yet.
I finished Bioshock Infinite, and I know this is probably going to draw a lot of hate mail, but I wasn't a huge fan. I mean, I really loved the first Bioshock, but this one just sort of felt like it was going through the motions to me. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say that's one of the games that actually I went to this local place here called Monster Games to just browse, and I saw yesterday that they had Bioshock Infinite there, and the reason I picked it up, I didn't buy it, but I actually looked at it, and I was looking at the price. I was like, I can't do it. So Danny actually really, really likes steampunk, and she was very interested in this because her brother actually recommended playing it.
Okay.
He's actually a big gamer. He actually recommended to get a pinball game or something that has Marvel themes or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Marvel pinball game.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, anyway, if you want that, if you want to take that Bioshock off your hands,
No.
Oh, damn it!
Playing no. It. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't like it. It's just it wasn't my favorite game of the year, and I wish I liked it more. Right. But if you actually, if you are a PlayStation Plus owner right now on PS3, it is free right now.
Really?
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. PS3 has some amazing. PlayStation Plus kicks ass, man. It's amazing.
This month alone, they've really pushed out.
Holy crap.
DMC, Borderlands 2, and Bioshock are all free this month.
And you get mad discounts on... Did I just say mad discounts?
Word, yo.
Mad skills.
Mad skills, man. You get a lot... I mean, being a PlayStation Plus member, you get like 75% off games when they put them on sale. I just bought a bunch of games for my Vita for like $3 each, $2.
The season one of Walking Dead is $5 right now.
$5 on Vita. Yeah, that's crazy.
Nice.
Speaking of Vita, while we're still talking about that, I played the hell out of Tearaway.
I'm having trouble keeping my mind focused on it.
But you're the son in the game. You're like part of the game, dude.
I know. I mean, it's very intuitive the way everything is. You collect all the stuff. Everything that you imagine as papercraft is alive. You know, you're actually in the game, but it's media molecule. There's something that's missing from that that keeps me grasped in the game.
I wasn't a huge fan of what was the game before?
Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet. I wasn't a huge fan of that game because the 2D plane didn't work for me. You always fell off shit.
Yeah.
But I really like Tearaway. Just the stylistic choices they making it. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it takes advantage of the Vita, like the touchscreen. When like there's be sections of the game where you have to actually touch the bottom of your screen to interact with the world.
Yeah.
To like make them jump or
you poke your literal fingers into the game, which this game should have been the Little Deviants packaging game. That would have sold a hell of a lot more Vitas than Little Deviants.
And isn't the goal of the game for your character to get to your face in the game? That's what he's trying to do?
Yeah, he's just trying to get you a letter.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of fun. But I'm going to say the best handheld game that I've played all year is Legend of Zelda, Link Between Two Worlds. I am probably about 75% finished with it right now. I'm pretty close. That game is just... It's not overly difficult, but it's just a lot of damn fun, and it brings back these childhood memories of playing Link to the Past that it brings me back to my childhood in number one, and I can't say enough great things about this game. Crickets.
I don't own a DS, unfortunately. Nintendo has shook me the wrong way for the past 3 to 5 generations.
So you're not a proud owner of a Wii U?
No, apparently their expectations of 8.5 million is now down to 2.2.
Wow.
This year.
Yeah, their projections had to be lowered majorly. Yeah. I mean, they're hemorrhaging out money.
Yeah, well they've been in the game since God knows how long. They've got backstock some money to overcome the storm.
Right. I mean, hopefully it won't turn into a Sega situation, but that could be cool. And just imagine having your new Mario game on your Xbox or your PS4 and not have to worry about buying a Nintendo system.
We said that, too. It was like, when Nintendo licenses out their characters to other games or other systems, potentially having your PlayStation All-Stars versus your Mario Party teams going at it. Kratos will actually rip off Mario's head, and Yoshi will go face to face with, I don't know, Charizard.
That'd be cool. I mean, there's a lot of games on the Wii U that I would like to play, but
oh yeah, that matchup's already happening. Never mind.
Which matchup?
Charizard and blah. Anyway,
I don't even know who Charizard is. So
it's a Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Only gamers would know.
I even knew that. I don't like Pokemon. Gah.
Well, poke your mom.
No, thank you.
Whoa.
Go on.
On Facebook.
Tell me more. Yeah, on Facebook. I meant on Facebook.
Good save.
What is another game on your list, JD?
For good games?
Well, let's talk about good games, yeah.
Okay.
Let's not talk about crappy games.
Dragon's Crown was actually really good, too. That came out recently. If you guys like hack and slash games... This is a really... Oh, do you guys remember the D&D game, arcade game, that came out eons ago by Capcom?
Definitely, yeah.
This is an exact throwback to that kind of genre and playstyle of the game, but the items are actually, you know, you craft them, you actually interact with a lot of people. You play it online with your Vita and your PS3.
And did you play the Vita or the PS3 version?
I actually own both of them.
Wow. Because that's where they missed the mark on that game. I own the Vita version. And there's a lot of games that came out. It's like cross buy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have really wished they did the cross buy on that game.
Not
cross play, because there is cross play, but
I believe that was Atlas's doing, because none of Atlas's games have been cross play. To what I understand, with Dragon's Crown, they just not recently, but they have patched it in where both the PS3 and the Vita versions can now be in the same world, or you can transfer your saves back and forth.
Right.
Just a lot of people, like I was talking to a friend of mine, he was very mad. He put the game down almost automatically when he started it. He goes, I can't believe the Vita version is not an online play game. It's only single player. And lo and behold, that you have to play almost 5-6 hours of the game before you can unlock the online mode.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's what turned away a lot of people.
That's a weird decision.
Well, and it's a little smart, too, for a better community, Because in the way I'm thinking about it is, a person that's actually sitting there for 5-6 hours is going to be in, you know, really detailed in the game and really into it. And when he plays online with other people, they're going to have the same lightnesses and, I guess, interest for the game. It's not like some guy that's going to jump on COD and keep shooting at the wall and everyone gets mad at him.
So, that would be me. Right. So let's move on to the person that I sleep with every night, JD. I mean,
you know.
So, Kim, what is your top game of the past year?
Well, you know, I don't know. There's a few games that I really loved. Tomb Raider, of course, like everybody's saying. And, you know, I loved the game. It was awesome. I finished it, and that is the only Tomb Raider game I have ever completed.
High five. So me too.
Me too.
I have not liked the controls prior.
Not me.
This one was fabulous.
Did you beat a Tomb Raider game before?
I did, actually.
Really?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Did you finish it, though?
Yes.
And you beat it?
Yes.
All right.
You know what? No, I did beat another Tomb Raider game. I beat Tomb Raider Legends.
Wow.
Mm.
Back when there was PS1, man, that's when I was doing a lot of gaming. And that's actually, I actually beat Metal Gear Solid 1 as well. That's back when I was playing games. No, I'm not.
Now, yeah, Tomb Raider now looks so much better than that polygonal crap fest that was out.
My mom even beat it.
Wow.
Dead serious.
That sounds really bad.
Yeah.
Nice. I feel bad now because I threw down the controller when I got those dogs attacking me. I'm like, you know, screw this noise.
Yeah, she actually beat the PC version of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have mad respect for your mom, and that's the second time I said mad in this episode.
It's all right.
Oh, everyone drink.
That's it. Yeah, my mom actually plays more video games than I do, so I don't know what that says about me. That's other than the fact my mom's a geek and it's awesome.
That is
very cool.
Hard to find, but it's awesome.
Yeah. And she right. actually listens to the show, so a shout out to my mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, because she lives in
Maryland. Hello, Mom.
No,
that's
no
okay. Game. She's single. No, I'm just kidding. She's got a boyfriend, but no, she's my mom actually lives in Maryland, so she listens to the show, and this is my mom just to hear me talk. So,
that's so sweet.
Yeah, my mom's awesome. I love my mom. Love you, Mom.
Love you, James, Mom.
Her name's Pam.
Jonelle, don't say it.
Oh, I think.
I love Lamb.
It's okay. You know what, though? Actually, when I was younger, my mom was the mom that every guy was commenting on how pretty she was. So, that's my mom. So it's not anything new.
I don't even know if that's a brag or anything. Like, yeah, everyone thought my mom was hot when I was a kid.
Well, you know, I get her. I've got her jeans. They're in my closet.
About to say, you wearing them now?
Yep.
They're chick, aren't they? Chick jeans.
All right.
Are they the Jordan, whatever they were?
Yeah, Jordache or Jordan.
Jordache, there you go.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that name forever.
Throwback, that's old. Yeah.
My sister used to wear that shit. They're fucking hair feathered.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 80s was a good time.
Oh, yeah. That's what got me into metal.
That's right, me too.
Yeah.
So what else has been on your agenda for the past year, Kim?
Okay, well, I've been playing a lot more recently is Saints Row 4. I love the Saints Row games. Love
High
Saints
five.
4. Those are my games. I finished 3, I'm playing 4 now. And of course, you know, Bioshock Infinite, like everybody's saying, I love Bioshock. I love 1 and 2. You know, I'm still playing Infinite. There's so many good games. Like, I have just sitting there waiting to play. Like for example, Dead Space 3 came out, I think, the beginning of the year last year.
I beat that game, yeah.
I think I haven't even put maybe an hour into it. There's just so many games. But I love the Bioshock. I can't. I'm going
to
play
There's
that.
So many to choose from.
That's
there's
right.
So
there
many
are
to
so
choose
many
from.
To choose from. But okay. I think, Jam, you would like the Bioshock Infinite, especially at the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure both you and Carrie and Jordan can attest, where it's like, you know, with the content the game's about in the very beginning, spoiler, but you know, it's like you have to be baptized to go forward in the game. And
interesting.
Weird being me and my, ideas on religion. It's like, no, I don't want to hit A to be baptized. Can I go around it? I kept looking around the room trying to figure out, is there another way you can go? But no, you have to continue. You have to hit A or whatever. You have to hit X, you know, to be baptized.
Symbolic.
Yeah, and that really took me back. I've never had a game like that take me back and be like, right. Oh my God, that's, no, I don't want to, you know? So, that, I mean, that aspect, one of the reasons is why that game and that whole franchise is awesome.
What I like about the game is it's a step away from everything else out there.
Yeah.
The art style, the way the story progresses, it is very different from your espionage, good guy versus bad guy kind of deal, because it's never straightforward. And when you're playing the game, you're just wandering around trying to piece together what the story is about. And before you know it, you're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And your head's spinning by so much shit that's going on around you.
Yeah.
What else, sir? What else have you been playing?
I know I played a lot last year, which, of course, it was the 2012, game, but it was Borderlands 2.
You played the hell out of that game.
I played the hell out. I looked up my Raptor account. It said I played 143 hours.
Holy shit.
So I don't know how that is compared to everybody else's, but, you know, I played the heck out of that game, and I got the season pass, and I played almost all of the extra, all the extra stuff for that. So I love those games. I love that. You know, the Saints Row, all those games I love. And of course, you know, when I didn't feel like playing anything major, I'd throw on Peggle 2 or something like that and play, you know, the girly, the non-gamer games, you know, that people.
Hey, I play those games too.
If I just have 10, 15 minutes to kill, I'll put on Peggle.
See, that's the kind of game that I like, actually. Not the fact that I want to play a girly game or anything like that. I just, you know what I mean? I just like the simplistic games. Like, I want to play fucking Mega Man. I want to play really simple stuff. My fucking life is so crazy as it is. I don't want to have to go and think about shit when I'm in a fucking video game.
Well, have you played Marvel Puzzle Quest yet?
I was about to say that.
Yeah, yeah, your iPhone yet?
Is that the one that's kind of like Bejeweled?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, totally. It was based on, what was that other game? That
I have played that one, though.
Puzzle Quest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Puzzle Quest, thank you.
And I actually was going to start checking out this one, because I get these Google alerts whenever something with Marvel happens. That's right, I do. And basically, it says something about Marvel Battle of the Atom game. It's a card game. Mm. I don't know if anybody's ever played it, but I'm interested.
I have not played that.
Played it. It got me and it lost me all at the same time, because I was I was really, really big into card games, but if the gameplay doesn't grab me, then it's a done deal. Like, I can just walk away.
Well, one of the reviews actually said that the actual, like, if you pull a card and there's a character, it actually goes in depth with the 50 years that X-Men have been around.
Yeah.
You know, like, so every character backstory is whatever you say, the continuity is really good. I don't know. I kind of want to check it out. I don't know. It's one of those games that I have to probably play it while I'm laying in bed going to sleep.
Okay, I did forget about a game that I played that you guys should really dig into.
What's
actually
that?
Two games. If you have an Xbox 360, Battle Block Theater.
Who makes that? Was it Double Fine?
Was it Double Fine? The same people that did Castle Crashers.
Okay.
It's the same.
No, I haven't. You have to use the motion control?
No motion controls whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah, it's a side scroll co-op or versus get through the level game. Simple as it can be.
Okay. I would dig the hell out of that then.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, if you play with someone that will help you, the game will move along a lot easier. If you got a person that will troll you, the game gets really fun.
Fun or okay? I thought you were gonna say more difficult, but fun, yeah.
Well,
I can
because
see that.
You have to. There's certain parts where you have to flip the person over like a river, and then he's got to hold the button for you to jump over on a block. And your friend could be like, oh, I'll flip you over, and he flips you, and he holds the block, and you're walking across this invisible bridge, and then he jumps off the button, and now you're just drowning.
And there you go.
And there's no death toll whatsoever, so you just respawn and just go at it again.
And what was the other one?
If you are an Android owner, I've been playing Ingress a lot. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It hasn't gotten a lot of market except for the crazy shit that people actually do in the game.
I've never heard of this game.
Okay, it is a location-based game similar to like Foursquare, but you're actually taking over points and connecting them against one, another faction. This is a game that you actually play outside your seat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say, for instance, we live in Sugarland, so Town Center has a whole bunch of portal points, and you got to take those points over, and you could build fields. Now there's the other faction come by and try taking them down, and it becomes a giant online virtual cyberpunk turf war. And these are all real places in the world, and there's stories of people renting planes to get a point that's all the way out in Alaska just to complete a field there, and it's quite crazy.
It's like what's that thing people do?
Geocaching.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Without the actual looking for shit, you just show up at a fountain or a sign, because they'll show you locations and what people are taking pictures of. So you just show up over there, you take down the portal, or you reinforce it or hack it, and it's really cool. It's super addictive. I spent 6 hours outside yesterday.
Oh my god,
that's awesome.
My station manager is really big into geocaching, and we went to California a couple years ago on one of our trips. Yeah, we spent time geocaching. It was very interesting.
Yeah, there's a whole backstory lore to it, too, that there's a virus and it's controlling people's minds and stuff like that. Look it up on YouTube, Ingress, I-N-G-R-E-S-S. Super addictive. Could get very personal with a lot of people, too. Like, I've been talking shit to this one guy. I keep taking his shit all the time. And then, like, the next day, he's like, I built it. What up now? I'm like, all right.
Now, I got to say, let me go to a couple of my last games from the year. I really liked the Deadpool game. I don't love it, but I had a lot of fun playing it. It was exactly what I wanted out of a Deadpool game. It was funny. It was true to the character, silly, a little off, if you want to say it like that. And the gameplay, it was like Devil May Cry Light. You know what I mean? It was decent enough to let you have fun in the game.
I kind of looked at it as a PS2, PS1 game trapped in the next generation platform.
Exactly. And I really liked the part where you had a button mash to slap the hell out of Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. I did that for, like, what was it, 5 minutes that you're there just smacking them to wake them up?
Yep, because you can. Do you want to stop? No, you want to keep on going.
Yeah, that was good.
Or the intros to the characters.
Yes, when they introduce a character, it was the way that Deadpool envisions these characters.
Who the fuck is that?
it's a lot of fun. JM, you would love the hell out of the game.
Yeah, I saw it in the store yesterday, and it was still pretty expensive, you know, for my casual gaming lifestyle.
You could probably pick it up for $20 somewhere used. There's no reason to buy it brand new.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep my eyes open for it.
Another game on the PS3 Vita that I really loved this past year was Guacamelee.
Oh, yeah.
I am a huge...
Making me hungry, man. I want some more.
I know.
No.
I'm a huge fan of like Metroidvania-style games, and this game is based in like this Day of the Dead... Like you're like a luchador. The game is just so much fun because, you know, you keep on progressing and you get new abilities and you can go back to other parts and everything I love about those type of games. It was just, and then the cross play, so I could just transfer my save over the cloud and then pick it up and finish playing on my Vita. It was a lot of fun.
Did you get to play the new Batman game on Vita?
I have played that a little bit. It's not exactly what I wanted.
Okay.
But it is a Metroidvania style, yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. Was like, how does that compare to Metroidvania?
I'm waiting for the... I don't know. There's just too much. I haven't opened up fucking, like, crates and, you know, air vents, basically, for me. Like, every room, you have, there's, like, an air vent you have to do. And you have to go through the little, you know, punching the buttons as fast as you can. And then you do go through the animation of it. It was just, come on.
Okay. It's more of a gimmick than the actual progression of the game.
I don't know. I can't say too much about it because I only played it for like an hour.
Okay.
So once I get more into it, I guess. And I guess the last game that was my favorite game of this past year, it might surprise a lot of people, but Dead Rising 3.
Oh, yeah.
I've put so many damn hours into that game. I am going to my second playthrough right now and just trying to unlock everything I can in that game. And I'm super fucking powerful in that game. So I'm just mowing down zombies. And that, like, it's just a lot of fun, man.
Definitely. It's fun to watch, too, because I've just been sitting there watching him play it. It's like, you know, it's probably just as fun to watch as it is actually play it, you know, yourself.
I know I will get around to playing. When I buy my Xbox One, eventually it'll happen.
Yeah. And I mean, there was some... let's talk about the new systems real quick, because, I mean, there wasn't a lot of games that came out for these new systems. I'd say for Xbox One, probably the best games were, you know, Dead Rising 3, Rise, which is... got horrible reviews, but that's a great game. A lot of people don't give that game the time of day, but they really need to. It's beautiful. It's a great looking game.
Okay.
What has been your favorite on the PS4? Don't say Knack.
No. That was actually on the top of my worst list. That was another sticky note that I had.
Ew.
PS4, I've really only been playing Call of Duty, Need for Speed Rivals, which is, I never got your review of that. What did you think of that game?
It was fun. I wouldn't pay full price for that.
Okay.
Probably when it goes to like $30, it would be a good pickup.
Okay.
It wouldn't be a pickup, it would be a car game still. So.
Yeah. Womp womp.
Yeah.
I've actually been playing Don't Starve, which is also free this month.
I downloaded it. I haven't played that yet. I just picked up the new Ratchet and Clank Into the Nexus.
Okay.
And short game, it was only like 4 or 5 hours, and I just beat it this morning.
Okay.
And I finished.
And
finished,
it?
The game.
Okay.
And I finished the game.
Right.
Don't Starve. I'll just tell you this pro tip right now: the more you the more you'll want to play the game.
Okay.
Because you get XP for every kill, every death happens to you. You just, if you lasted 17 days, you get 17 days worth of experience, and you unlocked more characters. So with playing the PlayStation 4 version for 3 hours and then going up to bed and then logging in on my Vita to play it again some more for another 4 more hours, the game is dangerous.
Okay. I'm going to definitely have to play it. I mean, I got it for free. I have no excuse not to play it, right?
Yeah. At first, you're gonna be like, what the hell is going on? And this is typically, like Terrania or Minecraft meets Tim Burton. That's what everyone's describing it as.
Okay.
And this mad scientist builds this machine, and it sends him to this other world, and the machine explodes, and you basically wake up, you see this guy dressed up in a suit, and he looks at you and goes, hey, you better wake up before you starve to death, and disappears. So to me, that's like the devil or something like that.
Interesting.
And you gotta make sure you don't die from, like, pig people or giant birds with eyeballs or...
I hate trying to avoid dying from pig people.
Yeah. Or spiders. What other things? I went into a cave and I got killed by rock golems. And the other thing, too, is there's a psychological meter to it. There's 3 meters. Your health, your mind, and your stomach. So your stomach needs to be full, your mind needs to be active, and your health needs to be up to stay alive. If your mind goes down, the everyday stuff that you see starts becoming more morbid. Like little rabbits you'll see jumping around will turn into like ferocious monsters, but they won't attack you because they're still rabbits. So
your mind's playing tricks on you.
Exactly. So I thought a giant fucking rabbit was going to come down and eat me, but no, he's just this little thing that I just haven't had. You know, I have not slept in the game for like 8 days. So definitely look into that game.
So what about you, Kim? You have any more on your list?
No, I think that was really it. Just, you know, mainly those. I didn't play a whole lot because I was doing a lot of TV watching and stuff. So I think that was kind of my counterbalance was.
TV? What kind of TV were you watching? That was a perfect segue. You're learning
and,
from me.
You know, yeah. I didn't even play on that. How funny.
I know. That was very good. I'm proud. I'm beaming with pride right now.
I can see it through your profile picture.
Ah. good stuff. Well, you know, I did a lot of Netflix marathoning last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love Netflix for catching up on shows or doing shows. I mean, that's how I got into Doctor Who. Did a lot of Doctor Who watching last year.
Wait a minute, you like Doctor Who?
Yeah, Doctor Who?
Who?
Exactly.
Who? Is he Is he Doctor Strange in owl form?
Oh, no. No. But yeah, a lot of shows like, you know.
I see what you did there.
No. A lot of stuff like that. Let me see, what else did I do? Got caught up on Sherlock. There's not many episodes of Sherlock to get caught up on, but got caught up on that, you know, and so I'm excited for the new series that's finally showing in the U.S., so...
We caught up on all of Game of Thrones this year.
We got caught up on Game of Thrones, definitely.
Thanks to Brian from oldness.com.
That's right, thank you. And just stuff like that, and Torchwood, you know, because of Doctor Who, of course, you know, your next progression would be Torchwood, so I've got caught up on that. And just, you know, non-Netflix-y. I'll say this. I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know a lot of people have been kind of hating on it, but, you know, I am a Whedon fangirl, and so I have to. I know I like it. You know, I like it, so it's been
fun. I gave up on it completely.
You know, don't do that, man. No. We watched the last two episodes. It is getting better. They're starting to explain a little bit of stuff, and give it another shot.
Don't worry, bro. I'm on the same boat as you. I skipped out on after episode 3.
I think it was the two episodes right before the break, and then they just came back.
Yeah.
I'm done. I can't stand it anymore.
Wow.
I mean, I know it's happening, you know, but it doesn't even interest me.
Okay,
it's no Arrow, am I right? Is that what you're saying?
You're damn right. Arrow is the fucking best show on TV right now.
That is actually on our list to catch up with, too.
Yes. That's on our Netflix account.
Yeah. Finding time to do it. I got to say, my favorite new show of 2013 is something that didn't come out till late in the season, is Almost Human.
Yeah.
I love the hell out of that show.
What show?
Almost Human.
Okay.
Not Being Human. Almost Being Human is a different show.
RoboCop, okay. The TV show?
Sort of. It's what RoboCop wishes it could be.
That's true.
It's kind of like... It's kind of like Demolition Man meets RoboCop Judge Dredd.
Yes.
Dredd's in it.
it does have Dredd in it.
Yeah.
Carl Urban is perfect in that role. I'm not a big fan of Lily Taylor. I don't really like her. I don't really see her as a captain, you know what I mean?
I like her, though. Oh, how funny.
I don't know.
I think it's interesting because it's a female captain.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? So,
I don't know. Something about her doesn't... I don't know. I don't know what it is about her.
It's because she has a vagina. You're normally used to hearing...
Yeah.
Sure. Except for on... what's that? That TV show.
But I do like vagina.
Yeah.
So I'm conflicted now.
Well, what's that?
Why don't I like her?
Well, no, I mean, that's just a typical thing. Because, like, most TV shows, they have the assertive, angry, controlling male captain. You know, it's different to have a female in that position.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to burn my bra or anything. I'm just saying, you know,
I hope not.
Yeah, no, but in all seriousness, it's, I love that show. There was one show that I had to give up on though. Again, aside from S.H.I.E.L.D., Sleepy Hollow. I have a hard time with it now.
We only watched like the first three episodes, and we sort of haven't really caught up.
Yeah,
I mean it's awesome. It's really awesome. But the actress that is working alongside Ichabod,
mm-hmm.
she overacts every fucking episode.
Oh no!
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna see.
Yeah. So now every time, I see her, and I'm thinking like, oh my god, just tone that down a bit. You know,
right.
But, you know, they I guess they didn't ever tell her that, so I gave up on it.
You know, before we go away from Almost Human, the ones I think like after the first episode I watched and I said, and I remember, Kim, you remember when I said this, is the one thing that I'm grateful about this TV show is that it is not a movie and we can have this as a weekly, you know, episodic show.
That's exactly how I feel about Arrow.
Yeah.
The most recent episode that they just released on this past Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
There are scenes in that that look like it should be on the big screen.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Almost Human. It looks really good. I really like what I watched on Arrow. I just need to catch up on it. I know a lot of the oldness guys fucking hate that show.
Yeah.
Right? I've heard some Arrow hate.
Yeah, that's okay. You guys are missing out.
It's not me that hates it. I'm not a DC guy so much, so I don't know so much of the lore, and it doesn't really pull me in.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't Fernando on the show earlier in the year, and he was
right.
He kind of had some hate on it, but
yeah.
Basically, it's doing exactly what I said it was going to do. It's using it as a platform to introduce brand new characters, and it's working. You know, they have Solomon Grundy, they have the Flash, they have Ra's al Ghul, they have, I mean, even though he's already been established, but the minor characters in the was it the League of Shadows?
A League of Shadows.
Yeah.
But Ra's al Ghul is Liam Neeson in his cock, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're introducing all kinds of different characters, and I know why a lot of people would dislike it. It's because it's CW'd to fucking death.
See, that was the problem I had a little bit. It was a little too lovey story for me. And just some of the way they edit stuff, and it was just very CW, like you said.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm trying to overlook that.
You have to kind of expect it, though, because, I mean, you know, Smallville was the same way.
Yeah, I couldn't get into Smallville either.
Yeah. But this is, Deathstroke, he's no joke, man. He kills. And
he was the basis for Deadpool.
Yeah.
Because Marvel stole, it was a spoof of Deathstroke, Deadpool.
Yeah.
I mean, because Deathstroke's real name is Slade Wilson, and Deadpool is Wade Wilson. Come on.
Right.
That is kind of funny. You got to make that kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's there's a lot of different cool things that are happening, so. I mean, the Barry Allen episode, they actually...
I've been looking forward to see that. I just don't want to jump forward without seeing all the first season, you know what I mean?
Sure. But if you guys ever saw the 90s Flash TV show...
Oh, yeah.
They actually did a throwback to the whole, when he got struck by lightning deal. So it was kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
Nice. See,
like, literally looked exactly like it.
I mean, that show already has my vote because John Barrowman's in it. So I'm just like, whether he's still on the show or not, spoilers. I was like, put John Barrowman in it, I'm watching it. So.
Oh, don't worry. You're safe. Because, you answered that perfectly.
I love me some John Barrowman.
You said that perfectly, yeah.
What about you, JD? What have you watched on TV the past year?
What have I watched in the past year? They just put on a show, because I like comedies a lot. I like to follow stand-up comedians. At Midnight, that's been coming on. That is a hilarious show.
Yes.
Chris Hardwick is a host, and it's basically, it comes on Comedy Central after, which show does it come on after?
Fuck if I know. I know.
Daily Show and Colbert.
Colbert.
And all
that. Colbert.
Yeah.
It comes on... Was it Eastern Standard Time at midnight? So it's 11 o'clock for us.
Yeah.
It's three comedians
That's why they named it that.
I guess calling it at midnight Eastern at 11 p.m. Central would be too long of a name.
Yeah. It doesn't fit inside of the the preview box so well. But it's three comedians that just talk trash and poke jokes at current events that happen on the internet, and that's where a good portion of my day happens to be, is re-watching stuff on YouTube and seeing
the porn sites.
Yeah. What? Yes.
What? Yes.
Yes.
I've been watching that. South Park here and there. Archer here and there. That's it about TV. I don't really watch too much TV. I'm backlogged on Mad Men. I'm 2 years behind on that.
See, I've been, when I go to the gym, a lot of the times I'll just watch stuff on Netflix on my phone. And I've been trying to power through Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
I don't know, man. There's parts of it I'm like, okay, this is sort of cool, but then it's just like... But once I commit to watching something, I have to power through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't want to... Okay. But at home, we watch a lot of comedies. A lot of, like, situational comedies. And I got to say, my favorite new show this past year, there's a couple of them. Of course, Community Season 5 is back.
Six seasons in a movie.
And it's actually really good.
It's really good.
Yes.
It has Danny actually wanting to go back and watch everything from the start.
Oh,
dude,
do it.
Uh-huh.
It is a dark time between the 3 and 4.
Yeah.
But this one really revives itself. Like, it goes off... the story really veers in different directions that you didn't think were going to be like in first season 1 and 2.
And if you're a fan of... That's what I love about Community. If you're a fan of movies, if you're a fan of, like, TV making, there's so many inside things that they do, depending on what kind of shots they use and which kind of, you know, cameras they're using to portray different aspects of the show.
Oh, yeah, they had a...
That's what I love about.
They had that Law & Order episode, and then...
Yeah.
What was it? The mockumentary was another episode.
Yep. It's just an amazing show, and I can't recommend that show enough to anybody if you just love good TV.
And if you love Blanket Force, too.
Blanket Force.
Yes.
That show, we went on a river trip this past summer, and we were like, we're in a cabin. We've got plenty of blankets. Let's do this.
I saw the video of that. Pillow Force. But yeah, if another new show that I guess I really love is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Dude. That show, my dog's barking because she agrees with me. She loves it. That show is so funny, and it's funny because Andy Samberg just got a People's Choice Award or something, some kind of for best actor, and he deserves it on that show. That show is so funny.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we love it. It seems like we've seen a lot of on Facebook and all social media, either people love it or they hate it.
They hate it, yeah.
It's so strange.
Well, that's Andy Samberg to begin with also. Yeah. There's people that don't like his comedy and hate everything that he touches. And then there's the polar opposite. I mean, it's the same thing for Adam Sandler, too.
Right.
Yeah,
I guess I'm a fan of juvenile humor. I'll admit it right now. I love that show.
Yeah.
Juvenile. I gotta see what you did. Speaking of juvenile... The Goldbergs. That's a funny show too.
Yes, I love Goldbergs too.
It's I guess the only way to describe it is it's a Wonder Year. Was it Wonder Years or?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wonder Years for the 80s in our generation. It's actually Patton Oswalt is the voiceover, pretending going back to his childhood. But the show is really, really well written. Well, it's really funny.
I mean, it's great watching the show, being a child of the 80s myself. You see through the toys in the kids' rooms. It's like, I had that. Or, like, one of the latest episodes we watched, they went to a rental place, you know, like a Hollywood video type place or mom and pop place to rent the videos. And it's like, I remember, like, after school going and renting a video or renting a thing. And then if you didn't rewind it, they had a rental, you know, rewind fee and all that stuff.
Oh, my God. I remember that, too.
Yes.
It's very nostalgic reasons. That's, I think, one of the reasons why we love it so much.
Yeah, I'm a child of the 80s.
Yes.
So, I mean, there was an episode where the mom was trying to put together back the USS flag, the G.I. Joe, like, big battleship. I'm like, that's just crazy. It's just, and they had, like in his room, they have, like, the, you know, the Castle Grayskull, and
yes.
It's, like, it's perfect, because, I mean, it's, like, everything that you remember from those, like, the middle 80s era.
You see, that's the thing, like, I remember shit, because I was born in 79. I don't remember much of the early 80s, obviously, but...
Yeah.
You know, things started around 1988. I started remembering, like, all the toy stuff.
Right.
And,
yeah.
I remember so much of the time that when I was younger, going to the video store with my dad every weekend that I had, he had me for the weekend. It was Mom's Video in Graysonville, Maryland. I'll never forget that.
I worked at a mom and pop video store. Called Value Video. Yeah, hated that job, but
you know,
all I did was watch videos all day.
The routine that we had was my dad would pick me up, we would go across the Bay Bridge, and then we would swing by the video store and then we would go to the drive-through alcohol, you know, to get beer for my dad for the entire weekend. I'll never forget that.
That sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah. He was like, I got the kid. Fuck, I got to get drunk. You know?
These kids today, I'm not going to talk bad about modern technology and all that, but it's so instant gratification on everything, you know? Like, oh, I want to watch this movie. You can download it or watch it for free. Whatever you want to do.
There was an Onion News video that they did where it was walking through a museum and it was a Blockbuster video. They were like, and this is where we return the tapes. This is what happened.
I don't know how they're doing that out that way, but here in with all the Blockbusters, they're actually turning them into medical facilities.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're like urgent care. It's so weird.
No, the one over here turned into a carpet store. Another one.
Oh, right, on Highway 6.
On Highway 6. Turned into a carpet store. There was another one. I forgot what was the other one. It turned into not a Torchy's Taco. Fuzzy's Tacos.
Hey. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Fuzzy's Tacos is awesome, though, man.
Yeah, man. The one that's right next to me here actually just turned into a Med Express. That's what it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only place really available is digitally to download a movie or rent a movie or, you know, Redbox. That's really the only available options you have anymore.
You know, I'm going back on the conversation earlier about bookstores. You just made me think, or I just reminded myself of it. All the Borders books, they went out of business.
That made me sad when they're gone.
Yeah.
They're actually medical facilities here now, too.
Really?
Yeah. Florida Medical Center.
I guess that means that we're just going to hell in a handbasket because all of our video rental places and bookstores are turning into hospitals.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be weird because this whole movement of, you know, downloadable games, that's going to eventually close game stores.
I hope not.
I don't see that happening for a long time off because look how long it took Blockbuster to die.
Yeah.
And video games is just now making that transition, and I don't know if the console people are ready for that yet.
But, I still like my physical media.
You know, and Danny and I were talking about that earlier because I feel the same thing about comic book stores. I really, really fucking love having the physical copy of it.
Right.
When she was reading Flashpoint out there, she was like, you know, because I told her, I was like, well, I have the digital copy if you want to read it. And she said, no, I want the physical one. I said, so now you see how I fucking feel. And when we go to a comic book store here, sometimes they just jack up the prices so much, it's like...
Yeah. God. It's easier just to download the digital version. Sometimes.
Really? And some it's...
cheaper.
Yeah, they're kind of turning into their own worst enemies, and that's why they fail, you know? But anyways...
You, sir, you fail.
Yeah. You, with the comic book store, you fail.
I don't think it's them. It's supply and demand as well, too, you know? Some of the things are not, you know, they don't make as many, so people, you know, demand is too high, and then, we have like four copies left, let's jack the price up now.
Right, well, I hope that anybody out there listening who has a comic book store, don't mark up your prices, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right on to thingsfromanotherworld.com and pre-order my variants for regular price.
There you go.
Fuckers.
See, that was the only joys that I had working at Toys R Us when the action figures came out. I was open up the box. Oh, look, McFarlane variants. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Close the box up. Send it down the line.
That's awesome.
You were that guy.
I had all the fucking Metal Gear variants you could think of from the Series 1 McFarlane. I had all the variants of the anime ones that came out, too, like the Akira bike and the Tenchi Muyo. I have those still wrapped up in boxes.
That is too funny because I actually was at a Target trying to find some Marvel Universe characters. I think they're 3.75-inch characters.
Yep.
And they had the same ones over and over and over again for almost like 2 weeks. And I was just – I randomly got a fucking hair at my ass and I was like, yeah, literally, I did. It's kind of funny. You should have seen it.
Did you pull it out?
Ew.
Yeah, you should have seen me. It was awesome. But I ended up, walking around, looking down, seeing if there was anything like in the somewhere hidden.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if there wasn't. Somebody had stashed five characters that I had never seen physically before behind a box. It was I think I've talked about it before with you. There was the Marvel Knight, and then there was Nightcrawler, Omega Red, and a couple other ones. But anyways, yeah, bastards.
So let's do a quick segue into toys, then, because we do talk about toys on the show. What has been your favorite toy of this past year, JM?
Oh, my God. That's a question I can't answer, because the ones that...
Does it vibrate?
Yeah. No.
Maybe.
Traffic. Street cones, man. That's what I go for. They have... there's so many different things that I
collect. So many, are there so many to choose from?
Yes. Really? Yes. as far as manufactured toys, I'd have to say one of the best this past year would be the New York Comic Con Stan Lee Funko Pop exclusive.
Oh, yeah. You have one of those,
yeah,
too, don't you?
Yeah, my buddy Rennie up in New York, he lives in Massachusetts, but he was in New York that day, actually picked up a couple of them, and he sent me down one. So it was very, very awesome. And obviously, yes, his name, he likes Gambit quite a bit.
I can't tell.
Yeah. Yes. So I also really, really like to collect Funko Pops, but I also like to make my own. So as far as the ones that I've made myself this past year, I have to say the Doc Ock and the Agent and Venom that I made are two of my favorite ones.
Now, remind me, we will link to these on our show notes on our website at MetalGeeksPodcast.com for this episode.
Yeah.
We'll put links to the pictures there.
Yeah, maybe I'll just make a little picture photo grid, then I'll send them over to you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But also, I like to frequent flea markets, and I like to buy old toys. And one of the coolest ones that I found was a Swamp Thing, still in packaging from Kenner, climbing Swamp Thing. It's only $7. I think she gave me it for like $5, you know, but it's still pretty cool.
I got to say, my favorite, you probably know my number one answer, it's the Black Series Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I was able to find one out in the wild for a normal price. that the detail on that figure it's pretty amazing.
You know, I always look and see if they have more of them in there. But I can never find that one, and I always find the Leia.
Yeah, I don't like the Leia. I was showing it to Kim a couple weeks ago. We were in the store. I'm like, look at it. If you like, turn it. This the like underneath where her. This is gonna sound weird, but like where the breasts are, it just the plastic molding there. It just looks weird.
Yeah, she didn't have a good surgeon.
Apparently not. She needs to get her money back for that shit.
Osteoporosis or something. I forgot what it was.
Osteoporosis.
Like an onset, or just she looked weird. It wasn't proportioned right. Something's wrong.
Are they ever proportionate?
That's true.
Yeah.
Says the guys who have no breasts. Now, the...
hey, speak for yourself.
I know, I have a little bit. The R2-D2 is really fucking cool, though.
Yeah,
I think that's the one I want to pick up. Which I'm probably going to buy on thevinyldead.com with our Metal Geeks 10 discount code, by the way.
Oh, yeah. At thevinyldead.com.
Yeah.
I got to say, I became a huge nerd for Vinylmation this year. And, you know, a few episodes ago, we did an interview with Thomas Scott about the Marvel Vinylmation set.
Mm-hmm.
And I've collected – that's one of my major set that I've collected. And I think it's probably one of my favorite toys of this past year are collectibles.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
I even have the – I don't have any of the variants, but I do have the Chaser, which is Ultron.
See, that's so cool, man. I really wanted that one, and I also wanted the Vision. That
the Vision is amazing.
Not the solid one, but the one that you can actually see through.
No, the clear Vision. That's one of the variant ones. That one's really hard to find and worth a lot of money.
Could that possibly be in a blind box?
Yeah, these are all in blind boxes.
Okay. Because I'm going out to Melbourne. Well, I'm not going anywhere, burglars. But, I'm going out to Melbourne next weekend for her final fitting. And, something happened with the dress this past weekend. But anyways.
That's near Orlando, right?
Yeah, so I'm hoping that I can convince her to swing by Downtown Disney. And I might pick up a couple of blind boxes.
I need a couple of Indiana Jones blind boxes.
Well.
That's the only place you can buy them now.
Well, Thomas Scott actually commented and said that on our page that they're online.
Right. They've been sold out online for a long time now, since like the first day, basically.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, tell you what, man. I'll pick you up some if I go.
Sweet. And I got the last major toy that I got to say I love this year is something that I received as a present from the wife here. Mm-hmm. It's the Boba Fett Slave One. There's a reproduction of it, basically, and it looks just like from the 80s. It is pretty amazing.
It is awesome, yeah.
And we got it for a lot cheaper than it normally goes for. It only normally goes for like $100-something. And I know we didn't get it for that much.
No, I didn't. No.
There's no way I would pay $100 for a toy like that. Maybe.
Don't lie.
What about you, JD? Any favorite toys this year?
I didn't really buy too many toys. I'm looking around the office right now, and it's a lot of,
Metal Gear?
Well, yeah, that's one side of the room. Like, I'm looking at the chainsaw guns that I have. That was from Gears of War 3.
It's beautiful.
I gotta say your Saints Row 4 dubstep gun is pretty cool.
Yeah, I was about to point that out. The dubstep gun, the Johnny Gat statue, the rotating glass case that it came with.
Oh.
Yeah, so to put the game in there is kind of ridiculous. The actual, I hate to say that the pride and joy of this year that I had was Metal Gear Rising. They had a special edition where it came with a like a laser lamp. But it had the sword down the middle. If you touch it, like the lightning arc comes to your hand and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
So I
haven't seen that.
I thought that was really cool. They packaged that in with the release of that game. That's about it. Like, I didn't really buy too many. Unless you're going to count like a GoPro camera. That was the toy of the
year. That's a good toy. That's an amazing toy.
Yeah, I brought that everywhere.
What about you, Kim? I know you don't really collect toys that much, but
no. But there's two that I got this year that I absolutely love, and of course they're both at my office at work. One of them is, of course, like I said, I'm a Doctor Who fan, and David Tennant is my favorite Doctor. He's not my first Doctor, but he's my favorite, and I got for the holidays they're kind of similar to Funko Pops, figures of David Tennant's Doctor. So that one I love.
It's a vinyl
cool
figure.
Looking. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's made by Titan Toys, I believe.
I think so. It's got the hair, it's got the little sonic screwdriver,
Well, I also got you another one too, didn't I?
You got me a Weeping Angel statue.
That is now sitting on top of our 360.
That's right. I put it there just to see who all would notice. And I think one of my most favorite ones that I have that I got is definitely from if it is a Funko Pop, it's from Thor: The Dark World. I've got the Loki figure because I'm a Loki fan. So
yep.
Loki fangirl, to be exact. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous, big time.
I got to give a big props to JM here for really getting me, big props and damn you, for getting me into Funko Pops, because my collection has grown exponentially this year. I don't buy every single one. I just buy the characters that I really, really like.
Yeah.
And I like I got the Jane, Tom, Bob one this year, which is pretty awesome. I'm looking at my, and I'll post a picture of, my shelf, too. I got a couple Deadpools. I got Schnarf. Because our dog is called Snarf.
Snarf, Snarf.
I found the whole Beatles collection for like a couple dollars each one day. I got some collectible ones too, like that I'm keeping in the box too. So I guess let's all take a picture of our collection and we can put it on the show notes.
My whole three.
Your whole three.
No, four. Well, no, three. Yeah.
Niner.
You win.
So the last topic we have before we need to start wrapping it up soon.
Yeah, you got to go somewhere, don't you?
I do. We need to talk about some movies. What was your favorite movie of the year, everybody?
Oh,
not at once, guys.
Yeah, that's tough.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Oh, shit. I don't know, American Hustle was actually really good. The Thor was actually really good, too.
Yeah, I'd have to say my favorite of the entire year would have to be Thor, The Dark World, and 42, which was 42. With Michael B. Jordan.
And of course, I'll say Thor, of course, duh, Thor, The Dark World. Or as I call it, the Loki movie.
What am I forgetting? The Pacific Rim.
Oh, yeah.
great job there, buddy.
Oh, I'm looking around the room. I'm like, I know I've seen a better movie than those two, and then Pacific Rim.
Those suck.
I'm not saying,
come on.
No. I'm not saying your movie sucked. I know the ones that I named were like, I know I've seen better.
I'm gonna go through my list real quick. Then we can talk about them. You can all say, oh, I like that one or didn't like that one.
I think we'll start the same.
I really liked the Evil Dead movie, the remake. I
haven't seen it, so...
Iron Man 3.
I was very, good. Very good, but I think Thor was still better.
I agree. Yeah. Thor's on my list, too. Thor the Dark World is much better than Iron Man 3. But
Pepper Kicked Ass, that was awesome.
Yep.
Come on.
Monsters U, which is basically Revenge of the Nerds.
See, I want to see that, too.
It's a great movie. World War Z, I really liked the way they handled the zombies. They actually called them zombies in the movie.
Nice.
I gotta say, nobody's gonna ever agree with me. The Lone Ranger. I really dig this movie. It's not the best movie of the year, but I really love the director and I love the style. And if you like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, it's just taking those movies and putting them into the Wild West, basically. It's just a fun movie, you know what I mean? Don't go in expecting, you know, Oscar quality movie or whatever, but
right.
it's just fun. And sometimes that's what you're looking for in a movie, like the next one, Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my list. That's tough, man, because one of the things that I have an issue with is my list isn't big enough, and that's not what she said.
Oh, damn it.
Took
it away from me. Let me finish my list real quick, then we'll get into everybody else real quick. I got to say, we watched The Wolverine again last night, mm-hmm. and that movie still holds up for me. It's still a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the plot holes fall through, but...
What I liked about it was him saving his own deal. It wasn't him saving the world.
Right. It wasn't a superhero movie. It was like an action thriller movie.
Yeah.
And I really liked the way they handled that. The World's End, I loved The World's End. This is the End.
No,
but
Simon Pegg.
The World's End. Yeah, Simon Pegg and...
Nick Frost.
It's the third part of the Shaun of the Dead Cornetto trilogy movie. And it's not exactly what you expect it to be. So, I gotta say, of course, Thor, The Dark World. Saving Mr. Banks was really good. And I'm going to have to say Desolation of Smog. A lot better than the first Hobbit movie.
Less walking? No.
There's still a lot of walking. There's still a lot of walking.
Yeah.
But there's more gold involved in this movie.
And there's Cumberbatch, so that was good too.
And Cumberbatch Dragon Man.
That was cool.
So what about you, JM? You agree with any of those?
Yeah, you pretty much said them all except for two of them. I liked Despicable Me 2, and like I said, 42 earlier. But I, at this point, I had not had seen Man of Steel, and it wasn't a disappointment to me. I fucking loved it.
Really?
Yes.
I hated that movie. Hate's a strong word.
That is a strong word.
I didn't enjoy it.
I am not Ralph Garman on this.
I'm not as far as that hatred on it, no.
I thought that it was really, really well done. It was artistic. There was, Russell Crowe, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He did do a good job in the movie. He was amazing.
Yeah, Robert Kevin, was good.
Kevin Costner.
And the other Robin Hood was good.
Yeah.
That's true. Uh-oh.
That's true.
Well,
both of Man of Steel's daddies were Robin Hood.
Yeah. He did awesome. Everybody in the movie was incredible. there were some points in the movie I actually kind of had sympathy for Zod, because he just wanted to he wanted everybody on his team, and he was trying to do the right things, but it was in the wrong ways. But
right.
The only complaint that I had, and I was talking to Danny about it this morning, because she loved it too, actually. Mm-hmm. We watched it on Xbox. They have this video thing. In any case, with him just flying into everything. That's the only thing I hated about it. He doesn't know how to fight.
Yeah.
And I think that he probably would have been done a lot easier if he had, in his ventures on trying to find himself, that he learned how to fight somewhere along the lines. You know,
it was a little special effect overkill in parts.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can understand it, but I still really enjoyed it. I mean, he was vulnerable, yeah, which was something very different for Superman.
Yeah. So what was your disappointment of the year then? Because Man of Steel was probably my biggest one.
I don't know. I really don't know, because I tend to be very picky about the movies I watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that if I did watch Anchorman 2, I wouldn't like it. So we just threw it out there.
Oh,
oh, we saw Anchorman 2.
Yeah.
It was funny, but there was really no point for it to be made.
Yeah.
No, I
don't know.
I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
Yes.
I watched someone else's review on it, and he hit it right on the head. It seemed like a whole bunch of small plots were sewn together like it was a giant web story built into 2 hours.
Okay. There you go. That's good.
It might have worked better as, you know, different, just a web series.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I did not watch it I didn't watch Anchorman 1 recently and then watch Anchorman 2. So I went into Anchorman 2 remembering what happened in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of the nods were like, oh, yeah, I remember that joke. It wasn't like, oh, shit, they recycled that joke.
Mm. Okay.
Well, so that's my recommendation. If you go into it, don't watch it the night before and then watch Anchorman 2 the day after. Just it'll be bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really care much for Anchorman anyways. I mean, there were some parts in it that actually made me laugh quite a bit, but I have no... I mean, I'm a huge Paul Rudd fan, so
yeah,
that's the guy I can watch in any movie.
That's Scott Lang to you now.
Yes. But
I gotta say that my favorite part of Anchorman 2 was the brawl scene like they had in the first one.
Yes.
They took it
yes.
to a whole new level.
Yes.
That made it worthwhile.
Yes.
I'm not going to watch it, so you can spoil it. I don't give a fuck.
So they have all these different news teams. Remember in the first one, they got into the huge fight?
Yeah.
Well, this one had, like, you know, I don't want to spoil it too much for people watching, but, like, Harrison Ford was in it, Will Smith was in it. Just a bunch of different people were in it. It was a lot of fun. That was worth it for the movie. And the song to the shark was pretty funny.
Yeah, there you could actually download or listen to it, the soundtrack to it, and it's on there.
Nice.
It's so weird to, you know, jam out for the first couple songs because they're classic rock, and then it transitions to that one. So it catches you off guard, and your windows are down, and your stereo is turned up, and you look like an idiot.
You probably look like an idiot jamming the Anchorman 2 soundtrack anyway, so.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I like classic rock.
I do, too.
Classic rock's some best music out there.
Oh, so I want to ask a question to you guys out there if you did or did not see it. The Metallica movie.
No.
Have okay. No
interest.
No cares
to
for
the
that
no.
Movie.
Metallica who?
Exactly. Like, I don't have... I have very little love for the band itself. Uh-huh. The music's okay. I think they're a tad overrated. But I didn't know if this was warranting. But I don't know what you guys thought of them actually spawning out a movie, let alone a 3D one.
Nope.
Why not Justin Bieber and Britney Spears does it? Why not?
Yeah, but okay. From what I hear about the Metallica movie, there is a narrative to it. It's about the end of the world or some shit.
Oh.
And they send the roadie out to get something that they need the last day of a show, and he goes out there to get whatever they need, and, like, the world's ending or some shit.
Oh,
like, really?
Wow.
And then Metallica's all playing, and I'm like, come on. And they're interspersing between those two? Come on.
How selfless of the band to think that they would be able to save the world with Metallica music.
They're not Kiss. Come on.
Right. They're not the Beatles.
Right. We're going to have, like, the Metallica meets, like, the Mummy next.
Versus the Mummy versus Alien versus Predator versus Ash.
Then we're going to have Scooby-Doo show up.
Zoinks!
Zoinks! I am waiting for my Freddy versus Jason versus Ash movie. Come on.
Keep waiting, brother.
That's not going to happen, man.
Keep waiting.
So, what was your big disappointment, Kim?
You know, I don't know. I really didn't have a big disappointment because, you know, like I was saying, I'm choosy with what movies I go see, so I'm very picky. So I didn't really have one.
What was your favorite?
Of course, but that would have been Thor, The Dark World. I mean, I saw it twice, so, you know, I liked it enough to like it. I liked it so much I'll watch it twice. So, you know, I don't know. That's what I got.
Now, there's a couple of movies that I haven't seen yet that I know would probably be higher.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see the new Riddick, and I know I want to see, like, Gravity and Wolf on Wall Street. I'm dying to see that, but...
Me and you, brother.
Yeah.
Now you gotta go see it.
I just haven't had time to go see it yet.
Go do it.
But I guess it's hard to talk about movies when you don't see every single one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to go see Saving Mr. Banks. I do want to see... what's that? Lone Shooter...
Oh, Lone Survivor?
Lone Survivor, yeah.
That looks pretty good, yeah.
That, I'm sorry, that was kind of a nod to the guy that...
Yeah, that got shot right by you, huh?
Yep. And I was actually reading an article about it before the show. Apparently he was the captain of the police force of Tampa.
Right.
So...
That's crazy. And he was head of security for Busch Gardens over there?
Yeah, after he retired, he went into working for... Busch Gardens.
That's a horrible story, man. But
yeah, all over a text.
Yeah, don't be texting in the movies, y'all.
I mean, because
that's mad,
y'all.
You know, the one thing that stuck out in my head the most was the fact that there are warning indicators to tell you to not carry a concealed weapon in the movie theater.
Right.
And there's also a warning to put your cell phone away. Now I think about it, and what's the lesser of both of them?
Right.
So I don't think that texting would have killed anybody.
No. There's something wrong with that guy. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Shot him in the face, point blank in the face.
Yeah. Well, after it went through his wife's hand, she was trying to shield him.
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
All right.
Sorry, that was
depressing. On that note, that's where 2014 is going to be.
Yeah, which we'll have a new show coming out in probably a couple weeks.
Yeah, our schedule is going to be going bi-weekly for a while because I have a lot of stuff going on my plate and JM has his wedding coming up. So, I mean, we're just going to go bi-weekly and we'll just have to deal with it. My dogs agree too because they're barking again.
We're going to have some guests on this year, and anybody out there listening, if you'd like to hear somebody on the show, send us a DM on Instagram where you can find us. I feel like I'm talking with the dog, actually.
I know, right?
You can find us on Instagram at...
Hold on, let's break it real quick until we stop. I'll just edit.
I actually kind of think it's cool. You got to yell it like Kevin Smith does.
Like you're still arguing with the...
Chucky, quiet.
Yeah. Shut up, dog!
Shut up!
Don't make me get the hose!
The Instagram that you can reach us at is at Metal Geeks Podcast. And DM us anything that you'd like to see on the show hear on the show because you don't really see us. But
Speaking of guests, yeah, we have some guests we would love to have come on the show very soon. I'm in contact with this guy. His name is Jeff Heimbach. And we're trying to possibly get a Disney Imagineer on the show. He just had a comic book series, you know, the Secrets of the Weird from Marvel.
Yeah, it just came out this past week.
It just came out this past week, and the guy who wrote it, I met him at D23. The story is based on his artwork and his stories that he designed for the Haunted Mansion, called Museum of the Weird, and that's what the story is about. And I have his book, and I'm going to try to get him to come on the show, but if not, we're just going to have Jeff come on. We're going to talk all about, you know, the series and, you know, the Museum of the Weird and all that cool stuff.
And don't we have A couple of people already confirmed. It's just a matter of scheduling it. One of them did a pretty cool movie with a lot of toxic things in it.
That is correct. You might be talking about the traumatastic Lloyd Kaufman. Yeah. We have scheduled him to come in. And it's just getting the scheduled worked out with everybody's, you know, busy schedule.
So
I just said schedule like five times.
It's okay. We can schedule the schedule if you wanted to schedule it.
Yeah, let's schedule something for the next schedule, and then we can schedule that later after that schedule.
All right. Just make sure that you don't have anything in your schedule that's going to block you from making the schedule.
Yeah, I need to check my schedule on that one.
Okay.
I'll get my calendar. Damn it.
It's a schedule. Find us on Instagram, Metal Geeks Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Metal Geeks. You can find us on the old iTunes. Look for Metal Geeks Podcast. While you're there, subscribe to us. Give us a comment. Let people know that you listen to the show and review us, man. That's the way to really get our listenership built.
We're actually reaching the point of where we're going to be having 1,000 followers on Instagram here. And
that's right.
So
we're going to have to plan something special for number 1,000.
Yeah. Maybe something cool will happen for you.
That's right. Maybe something
we'll have to do a generator or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, we've got about 80 some odd people left, 79 some odd people left to be reaching 1,000. So
yeah, come find us on Instagram. Come like us there. And
every one of you will be entered into a random drawing. Maybe you'll win something cool.
And go to thevinyldead.com to buy all your toy needs, your Funko Pops and your Star Wars toys, and save 10% when you use the code MetalGeeks10.
And it works.
It does work, because we have a video on our Instagram page of John Michael opening his box.
Yeah. It was G-rated, by the way.
Yep.
I was very gentle with the box.
What about you, JD? Where can people find you?
You can find me in two different places. You can go to altness.com, youtube.com/altness. You can watch all our videos on there. Carrie's actually been on a few episodes already before.
So, the good ones.
The good ones, yes.
The good ones.
Metallica.
You can find us on Facebook, obviously, facebook.com/altness. You could also find the Ninjaverse, which is the audio podcast I'm also on, is facebook.com/the Ninjaverse, all one word. Our website, where you can find all our podcasts and updates and stuff like that, wordpress.com/the Ninjaverse, I think.
Somebody was prepared.
Yes.
Yeah, we're never really prepared to do that, even though we give it every week.
Yep.
Every time we do a show.
Preparations for pussies.
You can find me on Twitter at S3 Prototype. You can find my partner at Half Ass Ninja. That's Hal Phase Ninja with a Z. You can probably find me if you find him. So, and Altness at Twitter as well.
And what about you, River Dragon 169?
I don't do a lot of social media. I started an Instagram account, River Dragon 169, but I don't do a whole lot. I just do my own personal stuff, so I'm a little quiet, so I don't do a whole lot. But yeah, check me out, Instagram, River Dragon 169. It's usually Doctor Who related, or you know, Buffy or anything Whedon stuff I just post up.
Before we forget, you can find Metal Geeks as well on altness.com, as well as rhymeswithgeek.com, and our own website, metalgeekspodcast.com.
Yes.
Sweet.
We need to get a cha-ching sound effect or something to throw in there.
Yeah. Or maybe we can put in a little bit of sound bite from Lobo about bastiches.
Yeah, bastiches. That's right.
I'm giving you geeks 10 seconds before I frag everything in sight. 1, 10.
So, I give big thanks to my co-host, John Michael, JM Metal Geek, for coming on again to geek out about the past year.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Thank you to JD, Jornell, the S3 Prototype.
I am all those names.
Wow, you have a lot of names, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you to my wife, Kim, RiverDragon169, for geeking out with us tonight.
Thank you.
And what do we say every week to end the show?
You're the king at it, man.
No, that's not what we say.
Fuck Michael Bay? No.
Enjoy your burrito?
Enjoy, breadstone?
I've got jelly beans.
Stay nerdy?
Keep it geeky?
There you go.
Keep it geeky.
Keep it geeky.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.